If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
It ain't natural!
Kamaraska.
Hello, is this India?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'd love to start our program with this man because he brings such joy. Joy and such laughter. And he is so funny, and he seems to get better every year. Please welcome Norm Crosby, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is.
I'm sorry. Who?
And now.
Now, you're a guy who I don't know your name.
Stupid hair.
What grown man has blonde hair?
Our feature presentation.
That seems a little harsh, don't you think?
Remember that.
Come on.
How awesome is that?
That's a great drop.
That's pretty good. What was that from? What was that last one from?
It was Weeds. It was from Weeds recently. It was Kevin Nealon. And it's one of those moments where you jump out of your chair. You're so excited. You can't believe he just said that.
I love
good
Weeds.
Point, too.
If you're not watching Weeds, that's a fantastic show.
Hey, even really if you are watching it, it's a fantastic show. I think it's had the most consistently excellent season of any show I watch on TV in terms of every episode delivering.
And it has a long season. Californication's already done. And yeah. I think Weeds has like another 10 episodes or something.
Do they really?
Ooh. I don't know, but it sounds like they shot a lot.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Stupid hair.
What grown man has blonde hair?
Exactly. So true.
Doesn't even make sense.
Ridiculous logic.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It's 5:32. It's Tuesday, the 6th of November.
Why so early today, Kevin? What's up with that? You just couldn't sleep? You stayed up all night?
Yeah, you know, I just figured I'd get here early today since yesterday I took about half the day off. You know.
I see. Okay.
You know what I'm working on? I'm working on the every other day plan.
I like it.
That might work for you, actually.
So tomorrow, 7, and then the next day I'll get here, you know, 5:30.
Sometimes they say that the best thing is just to change your expectations of yourself, to be realistic about
Correct.
Them. You know, don't always set such high standards that you're continuously disappointed
exactly.
in yourself.
Exactly. And who's going to be more disappointed in themselves than me if I have high standards? So lower the standards immediately.
Exactly.
Well, do you have anything you need to talk about here? Because I have a dilemma.
No,
I need to. Okay.
What's your dilemma?
Every year I talk about going, and this is the year I think I may actually make the trip to Detroit for the Edmund Fitzgerald anniversary, because it's the 32nd anniversary of the sinking of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
And, hang on, let me come up with something. I was brushing my teeth this morning.
No, this is...
And... What?
This is... I need help here. So... The problem is that there's too many events going on for the weekend anniversary this week because, you know, there's always the ceremony and the, you know, the ringing of the bell and everything like that at the Maritime Sailors Cathedral. I want to go to that, of course. There's a little service, a little ceremony, a few speeches, stuff like that. Then there's two separate stage productions that are going on, one in Michigan and one in Wisconsin, that are both going on Saturday. The Wisconsin one sounds so awesome. It's called The Gales of November, and it's on at 7:30 in Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
The Gales of November?
No, The Gales.
Oh.
Gales. Gales of November, right. And it's a stage production, but I don't know that I have time to do it all. I don't know how I'm going to do it if I'm going to fly to Detroit and then get to all the stuff in, you know, at Lake Superior and then jet all the way up to Manitowoc, Wisconsin to see this at night. It just,
wow,
it's a crazy weekend
tough.
Schedule.
That does seem tough.
What do they reenact? The drowning?
Those of you that
what did
don't,
they do?
Those of you that don't recognize the worst song ever written.
Best song ever.
It's basically about a ship that sank and everyone died. And Bean loves himself, people dying.
Clearly.
Well, so he celebrates it, and he tries to act like he likes this song. No one likes this song, really. But
it's my favorite song ever. And by the way, beloved song around the world.
Tell me. We don't have time for how it could possibly be your favorite song ever out of all the songs ever written.
Because it, the words are beautiful, and it tells a very, very compelling, dramatic story. You don't get that from very many songs. I mean, you got to admit. I mean, the fact that it is a true story and it is told with such detail is impressive.
I guess.
That they jammed
what?
It
but
into
let me ask,
a,
but,
tune.
But let me ask you this. It is about just about people dying, which is a strange thing to be obsessed about.
And but
B,
is it?
And B, no song ever has been more repetitious than that song.
One reason the story, quoting now, one reason the story of the Edmund Fitzgerald has struck such a chord with so many people is that it happened at a time when people didn't expect ships to sink anymore. It's a modern shipwreck story, said Prudence Johnson, the show's director and vocalist, in a phone interview from the Minneapolis area. It was just,
Are you trying to do,
It was just so shocking that it happened, and I think people are still kind of
more
in shock.
More people died with the Titanic. Why aren't you obsessed with that?
I have lots of songs about
the Titanic. Huge, complete surprise. No one knew. No. A lot of people died.
A lot more people died.
I not only have lots of songs about the Titanic, this past weekend I watched A Night to Remember, which was the movie that was made in the 1940s about the sinking of the Titanic. Just watched it this past weekend.
I'm just shocked. I'm shocked at how opposite you guys your guys' take is on this. I mean, you need a little
You're
moderation.
Shocked about that?
Well, I mean, clearly, Bean, it's not the greatest song ever.
In the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
And clearly, it Kevin, it's not my the favorite, worst song ever.
Oh, it's my favorite song of all time.
No, I'm not kidding. It is.
Literally, number one.
There's
I'm not
no
kidding.
Moderation
because
here.
Buzz, listen. You've heard the whole song right there, and it goes on for another 10
right,
minutes.
Like I said, I think it's.
There's no bridge. I think there's no anything.
I think it's a bit excessive for Bean to say it's. To even make it his favorite song.
Okay.
But I also think it's crazy for you to say it's the worst song
okay.
ever.
Okay. I'd like to say you're high and wrong in every way.
Okay. And I'd like to say that you're high and wrong in every way. So
at least we
off.
Can agree on something.
See, we're all agree on that.
You brought us together, Mike.
You know, it's funny you should say that it's a bad song because I happen to have a piece of tape from the late comedian Richard Jenny talking about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
You could play Gordon Lightfoot, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, about a boat that went down. Any song can perk up the party, but when you need a good depressing number to clear the people out, own that record.
Good point.
When they start, put it on, everybody leaves. Just go. And a wave hit the boat, and they all died like rats. And they lay there, and their lungs filled with water. And they all go, you know what, Rich, we're going to take off, man. Are you sure? Yeah, we're going to. And back on the shore, their wives had no insurance, and their children turned to drugs and prostitution. And sure, you got to go, yeah. By the time we slash our wrists and burn the house down. The traffic's bad, you know.
All right, so maybe he's on your side.
Available now only from wreckoftheedmundfitzgerald.com, the CD everyone has been waiting for from the world's greatest singer. ASCO Records presents Gordon Lightfoot, proving he can sing all your modern favorites on Alternative Gordon. Think Gordo's a moldy oldie? You couldn't be more wrong. Listen how hip he is as he gives his fresh sound to System of a Down's Chop Suey.
I don't think you trust in my self-righteous suicide. I cry when angels deserve to die.
And you'll be cheering G.O.D. when you hear Gordon's Youth of the Nation by P.O.D.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
And you'll fall in love all over again with Gordon's version of this violent femme smash.
Let me go on like a blister in the sun. Big hands, I know you are the one.
Plus, if you order now, you'll get a bonus disc, Gordon Lightfoot's Party Jokes. Your friends will be rolling with laughter when you play this CD at your next bash.
A Jew and a Catholic walk into a bar looking for a one-legged hooker.
What a deal! Alternative Gordon and Gordo's Party Jokes, all for $199.99. So call now, 1-877-BEANS-EFT. 1-877-BEANS-EFT.
Come on. Well, you joke, but I have a lot of decisions to make about this weekend. That's all I'm saying.
I'm sorry, I'm joking?
Yeah, because you're making it sound like you don't enjoy the song and stuff.
Right.
I'll take some pictures and put it on my blog. You can catch up.
Sure. Thank you. Do that.
Well, okay. There's two things about this. A, no one's as excited about the song as Bean says he is, so I don't believe him.
Right.
And B, he's not going to go anywhere, and he's not going to do anything. And he's not going to take any pictures.
I'm this
And he's
close.
Not going to put them on. He doesn't ever go.
I'm looking at airfare this morning.
I may go to... Those words are always just false. They ring false with Bean because he doesn't
You're
leave his house.
So right.
There's no I've been going place. Away Hey, I've weekend. Been places, guys. I've gone places.
You're not going.
You're not going.
I will put money down that you're not going.
Maybe I'll prove you wrong this time. Maybe this is going to be the weekend.
That's a strong statement. Maybe I'll prove you wrong.
Maybe.
Possibility.
I'll prove you wrong.
There's a chance I could go.
Well, so I know some people in the room who aren't going to be getting any Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald souvenirs. That's what I know. I'll tell you that.
Don't break our hearts. My God. This is the only song to me that's worse than Halloween Spooks. Rather hear that one.
By the way, I didn't stop the song. It's still on, just so you know.
See, now you're laughing. You know why the song is bad.
It's long. I'm not saying it's not
long
a lengthy
super,
number.
It's super repetitive. I mean, it's not like they go into a bridge or a chorus or anything else. This is it.
You wouldn't include it on your list of songs that are brief. I will grant you that. It's not a short number.
It makes Chocolate Rain look very.
Is there any song more repetitious? Can you think of any?
I was thinking Chocolate Rain, but not even that. Not even that, no.
There's it's fading out. It's almost over.
No, it's going to go on forever.
This is the end.
The song goes on forever.
There it is.
Worst song ever. That is a terrible, awful, horrible song.
Because it's great.
Boat that went down and people died,
and
which means celebrates.
I don't celebrate. I observe. I observe. That's
you
all.
You celebrate. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Beach show. Get away from that goddamn song.
All right.
Well, we've already peaked. I mean, we've already done the best thing we're going to do all day.
Linkin Park will be here today.
That's pretty cool.
They're coming in. We got a Saudi doctor who's going to tell you how to keep your women under control. And there's some very, very important rules on how to keep your woman under control.
We need to be kept under control?
Oh, are you kidding?
Are we just busted out? Is that the problem?
We can all agree on that. Well, let's face it. Ladies have gotten pretty mouthy in recent years, Lisa. Yeah, I've got to agree with that.
There's a Saudi doctor who happens to agree with Bean that I don't want to give it away.
All right.
We'll do it in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll tell you about it. It is rather shocking that somebody in this day and age would say, you know what? Sometimes you need to beat a girl.
Oh,
that's
my God.
That's what he says. Yeah, I know. Among the whole other. He's got rules, the whole deal.
Oh, my God.
So that's coming up. Highlights of Let's Paint, exercise, cook, and have a really bad band in on today's Kevin and Bean show.
Wait a minute. What do you mean a bad band? I thought we were going to do the episode where they had Anal Holocaust as the musical guest.
Yeah. We are. I didn't say bad band name. I said bad band.
Right.
But anyway, we're obsessed with this. An internet show. The guy takes live phone calls, none of which are real, all of which are prank calls.
Right.
And he's magic. He's unbelievable. And he's got Inga now, some kind of a Swedish exchange student. And everybody calls in and goes, show us your boobs.
Awesome.
How come a guy who's on a treadmill making blended drinks can get a Swedish exchange student as his intern? We've got freaking beer mug.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good question.
I can't answer where he got her from, but he got her.
Well, we got to have him back on. He's been on the Kevin and Bean show. Maybe time to revisit him.
She's boobalicious.
Yeah.
Also on today's show, we are going to talk to a K-Rock listener named Beth who called us the other day and said that she can't get guys to talk to her.
Mm.
Guys won't approach
her.
Really? Right. And I have some – I sized her up immediately. I'm standing by it. I'll put $10 by it after we talk to her today. I'll put $10 by my original theory.
She's an attractive girl,
She's
right?
very attractive.
She's
attractive, intelligent female, can't find a date, WTF. That's the subject line on her email.
WTF.
All right.
She needs to spend some time with our Saudi doctors, which she needs.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That'll improve her attitude.
It's not going to go well.
Also, Tyra Banks did a TV show yesterday. Bean, she did it, right, on the vagina?
They did air it. I was afraid it was going to be a victim of the writer's strike, but in fact, it did air yesterday afternoon. That's right.
Excellent.
Jesus, writers.
It's just a vagina. Oh.
Well, that's true.
Is that really from the show?
She's so annoying.
It's just a vagina.
That's our girl Tyra.
And also on today's show, we are going to talk to Borat.
Yay!
We really are, right?
Yes, we really are going to talk to Borat. Very excited to have him back. He's got a couple of books out. One is called Borat Touristic Guidings to Minor Nation of USNA.
Okay.
And the other one is Borat Touristic Guidings to Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan.
All right.
And so I guess he's going to be in town, and we're going to tell you all about that.
How do you plan to repay the loan?
I will let you use my sister for 6 months.
Well, the only...
Show me your fingers. She died like this. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So Borat is back this morning. And don't forget, you can win Guitar Hero 3 and an Xbox 360 all this week. So keep listening for that. Ralph is next with the Showbiz Beat.
I don't think we remembered to mention that the writer's strike is into its second day now. We're going to be talking to director-writer Kevin Smith later on this morning.
Day two, really?
Day two.
Wow. You're like the local news, Bean. Every time I'm driving to work, there's a microwave van outside the front of WGA headquarters, and some sad broad who's got to get up early in the morning and broadcast live in front of the building as if anything the F is going on at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Day Doesn't two make any today, sense. In a building much like the one behind me.
Day two of the WGA strike. It's in this building right here that they decided to strike. There's no one here now, but
Ralph,
here.
You remember when there was that tragic shooting at a McDonald's in San Diego?
Oh, God.
And the local news...
The multi-death killing, yeah.
And the local news sent their reporter out to a random McDonald's in Southern California, and he said, it was a McDonald's just like this one in San Diego.
What if you don't know what McDonald's looks like, Kevin? You need some sort of visual cues. You can say, oh, that's a McDonald's.
Oh, I see.
Now I can imagine the horror.
I can put the name with the building, right.
Exactly.
Well, Kevin Smith is a guy who is personally affected by the writer's strike. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. And as the decider, he ought to be able to figure out a way to end it, too, by the way.
They should let him decide.
I don't know if they go to him for that, though. That's
they fine. Should, is
no,
what I'm
I
saying.
Agree.
It's 5:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Yeah, Kevin's got to be cheesed because Heroes Origins, the spinoff series to Heroes, has been indefinitely shelved due to the writer's strike. And Kevin was due to write and direct the first episode.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
wow.
No, not you, Kevin. Kevin Smith, he's still talking.
Yeah,
sucks.
Kevin Smith.
Know that.
So, oh, you said I didn't realize that. I thought you were hearing, oh, my God, I've got to write that?
You got an assignment. So he's horked out of a gig already because of this thing. So he's got to be cheesed off.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
I'd be interested to hear what he has to say. Hey, David Copperfield.
Hey, no, you did not. Did you say Copperfield?
Yeah.
Oh.
In the news again, TMZ.com has obtained portions of a document that Copperfield made all his employees sign regarding how they interacted with the women who attended David Copperfield's shows.
Right.
We've heard about how he would lure them backstage and...
have people lure them back.
Right, and then he would try to get them to come to his secret island of rape.
Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
That's what he calls it, or that's just what you call it?
It's right outside Isle of Wight, outside of the British coast there. And then there's Isle of Rape right there.
Okay.
Yeah. In the document, there is a section entitled Show Participation, which requires the people who work for David to arm themselves with clipboards, a Polaroid camera, a digital camera, brochures of David's island in the Bahamas.
Wow.
And instructions on how to keep the boyfriends and husbands of the women they bring backstage away from the backstage area while David talks to them.
This is serious business for him.
I got to tell you, put a lot of effort into this.
I mean,
that's kind of pathetic.
None of that bothers me because if you can use your celebrity for bad, do it. But the whole rape thing, that takes it.
Come on, Kevin, though. This is ridiculous.
If you're
this
a celebrity,
I agree. If you're
ridiculous.
A celebrity and you need a staff of people armed with equipment and instructions in order to get laid, then F you. You don't get to use your celebrity to get laid.
Yeah,
that's true. It doesn't seem like it should be that hard.
You just meet a chick and say, hey, I'm David Copperfield. You want to come back to the room and bone? And they say yes or no. And if you're a big enough celebrity, they always say yes.
Yeah, true.
Especially since he's a good-looking guy and he's very wealthy.
Yep. Right.
How tough could it be for him?
Yeah, he's just got some sort of control issues going on, apparently. They give them a list of things to say to the women who arrive backstage before they meet David.
Okay.
They're supposed to say, and this is written out in quotes, it's like reading a script on a telemarketer. Do you know that David has recently bought some islands in the Bahamas?
No way!
Well, they are beautiful. And we're doing a lot of projects for these islands. Ads, TV, radio, and many other promotions. So we'd like to keep in touch with you in case there's a job in the future we think you'd be interested in.
Are you kidding?
Word for word written out in the documents.
Unbelievable.
Then the women are supposed to fill out a questionnaire handed to them by one of David's employees. Where are you from? What hotel are you staying in? How long are you in town? Who did you come to the show with? Husband, boyfriend, friend? They're supposed to tick off the box that, that applies. Then there is a...
Do you have condoms on you now?
Yeah. Now there's apparently TMZ's got a hold of a threatening letter that David's lawyer sent to all the David's former and current employees. Once the investigation was revealed, saying that they had a duty to never talk about what David was doing at his show.
Wow.
So the plot thickens.
This no is not kidding. Looking good.
No.
He's creepy.
This looks like where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
Congratulations to actress Mila Jovovich. Gave birth to her first baby, a daughter named Ever.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever Anderson. Her fiancé is director Paul Anderson. They worked on the Resident Evil films together.
Ever.
Ever.
Okay.
It's her middle name? Gabo.
What? That's not a name.
G-A-B-O.
Well, that isn't a name,
Gabo.
Is it?
Ever Gabo Anderson.
Excellent. I love celebrities for that.
I wonder if Gabo is maybe something Slavic or something, because Mila Jovovich, of course.
Sure.
Yeah, it sounds like a grandmother's name or something.
Yeah, so that's where that comes from. Ah, sad news. Sad news for longtime wrestling fans. The fabulous Moolah died Friday.
No.
At the age of 83.
No!
You may not remember the fabulous Moolah, but she was a staple back in the old school days of wrestling. She was the ladies' champ.
Okay.
And the first woman ever inducted to the World Wrestling Entertainment Hall of Fame.
How many years back are we going?
107 years.
Oh, my God.
Well, she died when she was 83, so it must be back in the 50s when wrestling first became popular, so... Sad news.
I read an article on her over the weekend, Ralph. They said
of course you did. Of course you did.
He has more.
The fabulous Moolah. They said that she holds the record for the longest champion in any sport in history, for the number of years that she was considered the champion of her sport. I don't know how many it was, 30 or something.
All right, easy. Easy with the word champion and sport.
Sport. Yeah, let's not overuse the word sport here.
I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Chris Angel is struck again.
Yes.
Publicity whore Christopher Sarantakos, of course, has been spotted with Britney Spears, Cameron Diaz. I just recently reported Bono. He was hanging backstage with Bono at U2.
Yeah!
He's got a new girlfriend.
Another one?
According to Fox News, he was seen hanging out in Las Vegas nightclub over the weekend, looking very friendly with Paris Hilton.
Oh, that's fine.
That makes sense, yeah.
That's good.
Those two can be
they
together?
Deserve each other.
Yeah, they're both. Yeah, sure, of course.
All right, we'll let that happen.
Yeah!
But I'm concerned about the Parisification of Hillary Duff.
What are you talking about?
You know, Hill was always my sweet, innocent little little love button.
Right.
Well, before she got the big chiclet teeth.
Right.
But then
she took them off. Yeah, she unfiled down and now she looks normal again. But apparently she's not the sweet, innocent young lady we all know and love. The 20-year-old, according to New York Daily News, was seen drinking Clicquot champagne out of the bottle.
Ooh, nice.
While at a nightclub recently, giving her boyfriend a lap dance.
Yeah.
At the end of the night, she was apparently overserved because friends had to hold her and give her a hand to get up the stairs to get out of the building.
Ooh. At 20, you
at
say?
At 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't find
doesn't
her
seem
hot.
Good.
Does not seem good. You don't think Hill's hot?
I don't.
She looks good sometimes.
Yeah. At best.
You know, they didn't really file. I hate to correct you, Ralph. They didn't really file her teeth down. They put her on a diet of alfalfa cubes, and they just naturally wore down as she chewed them.
They give her those cedar chips in her cage.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand now. And we have yet another Dancing with the Stars romance.
Oh, I don't care. I
hope no marriages have broken up.
I think both of these people were single, Lisa.
Oh, wow.
Sabrina Bryant. One of the Cheetah Girls, the one who just got recently booted off the show.
Right.
Okay.
Has admitted to the fact that she is head over heels in love with her dance partner, Mark Ballas.
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 It's promising.
Is that B-A-L-L-E-S-S?
A-S.
Oh,
no, yeah. And apparently the two are crazy about each other. So, you know, you lose a competition, but you gain a love. Isn't that the way life works?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Not usually.
And just announced the cast of what sounds like the worst horror movie ever.
Okay, good.
James Marsden and Cameron Diaz are on board to star in a new film called The Box.
Oh, my God. I rented that over the weekend.
No, this is
a vagina.
No. This is a film you have not yet seen.
Oh, okay.
They will play a couple who receive a box from a stranger with consequences. If they push a button on it, they get a large amount of money. But someone they don't know will die. Well, I'm pushing that thing.
I'm pushing that button
all day long. Yes.
1,000 times.
Who cares? People die all the time.
Yeah,
why should I make a few bucks off it? Yeah, sounds
good. This is right
out
of that book of questions, isn't it?
The writer's strike is really already hurting us.
Apparently.
Okay, so they get a box.
This box.
And then they can push a button on it.
And then they get money, but some person they don't care about or know dies. Then how do they handle it?
I love it. Green light.
There has to be somebody in that process that goes, what?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Mike Nichols, legendary film and stage director, really one of the best. He is 76 years old today. Glenn Frey of the Eagles turns 60. Ethan Hawke, very talented actor, turns 37. Rebecca Romijn, model, actress, and new wife to Jerry O'Connell, is 35. I think she's going to be on Carpoolers.
She is.
Tonight. Is yes. it tonight?
I think it's tonight.
She guest stars on that show with her husband, Jerry O'Connell.
So she's going to be in the car with the pool?
Jeez, I hope they go fast in that carpool lane.
They do zoom down the highway
honey,
you know,
sure
in the carpool
do.
Lane past all the other cars.
Honey, look how much
part.
Faster we're going than the other cars.
That never gets old.
Crazy.
It's not a TV show.
It's constantly funny the way they
zoom
down the lane.
Is she still on Ugly Betty, too, as some sort of transgendered person or something?
Yes. Yes. As they say on Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
And Sally Field, who sadly is unemployed. She has no work going on.
Yeah, why can't they put her on a TV show or something? That's
she
weird.
Has no jobs, and I wish she would get a TV show because she really deserves it.
On Sunday nights on ABC? With...
Lisa, there's
Flockhart?
No brothers and sisters. Yeah. We've told you.
Yeah,
you're going to have to let that go.
And Rachel Griffiths.
She's going to have to let it go.
Just stop with your fantasies.
I've seen
Bad
it.
Ronald.
Yeah, really. She's 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Remember when Tyra Banks did a show on being a stripper, and she went undercover, and she dressed like a stripper, and then when it came time at the end of the show for her to walk out onto the stage, she just couldn't do it.
Yeah,
I do remember that.
Remember
yes.
when she did a show where she faced fears and she was afraid of dolphins
yes.
and she made all of her audience face their fears and then she got in the water with the dolphins and she couldn't do it. She ran.
I do recall that. Yes.
Remember when she was in the fat suit and she was crying because people treated her like she was fat and there were two gigantors sitting on either side of her on the couch that were trying desperately to just calm her down and give her some kind of
to
support.
Comfort her.
Remember when she did that show on how to pee?
Oh
sure.
Yes.
Of course I do. Yeah.
How is some one person so hateable?
I don't know, but
well,
she wins.
She did go through with having a vagina yesterday. Yesterday was her tribute to the vagina, and she actually did have a vagina. So, or
how about
she
that?
Claimed she did. She didn't show it, but she did claim that she did. So at least she didn't check it out at the last minute like she does so often. But yeah, that was the topic. Is it sweeps right now? Is that what's going on?
Must
I can't
be.
Think of any other reason why you do a whole show on the vajayjay. But she started, as we probably should, as we go through some of the highlights of the show yesterday, with a warning.
Due to the graphic nature of today's show, parental guidance is strongly suggested.
I got to tell
you. This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
I'm going to tell you that Tyra, although I love her,
is
and
bad in every way.
Will make her mind. She can be annoying a little bit. I'm going
really?
To grant you that she can sometimes be a little bit annoying. But that wasn't the worst part of yesterday's hour that I had to spend. It was an extremely unpleasant hour for me as a guy trying to watch this show.
But you love the vagina being.
No,
I do.
Doesn't he fakes it?
I do. I love the vagina so much. The vagina is God's perfect little flower. But what I'm telling you is that there's a lot of maintenance that goes on with the vagina that I don't ever want to hear about.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that is that is not sexy time. You know what I mean? And
right.
they spent a lot of time on a lot of that stuff yesterday. It was a very difficult hour of me having to listen to talk about pap smears and tampons. I will tell you, it was a tough hour.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
Here's how the program began yesterday with Miss Tyra Banks.
Your mother has one. Your sister has one. You have one. So why are we so afraid to talk about it? We're finally going to talk about what's up. Down there.
A lot of wacky sound effects throughout the show, by the way, about what's up down there.
Wow.
Now, you say Tyra's annoying, but you haven't heard this clip.
It's just a vagina. Every woman has one.
I'm not sure what that voice is supposed to do. I don't know what she's doing there. So she starts out by asking a couple of basic questions, and she's quizzing the ladies that are in the audience. And this will give you an idea of what the tone of the show was.
By a show of hands, how many of you guys have looked down there? To see what you've got. You at home, too. Have you? Okay, who has never been brave enough in this room here.
What is the? How
brave
did she
enough?
Brave enough in this down there? What is that? Is she uncomfortable with the topic?
Clearly,
is that why she's turning into a sheriff out of Georgia or something?
I think she's trying to be wacky.
No, I think that's what you do when you're not really comfortable.
Oh,
I agree with Bean.
Even though that's the whole point of the show, which is to say we're reclaiming the vagina, that we're going to talk about it because we have to. She still does sound
Who's
like stuff.
Who's been so scared to look that they never have?
Well, it's interesting you should ask because there were several people in the audience who raised their hands.
To sneak a peek and check out what's going on.
Right now?
Okay, and they actually did bring up a woman who had never seen it, and she said, I pay my doctor to do that. So Tyra brought her on to embarrass her on national TV, so she did that. Lisa, what's it like, man? Is it cool?
Yeah, it's totally cool.
I bet it is, yeah.
Right, hold on one second. Hold on.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
Okay, back to you. Here's part of what made the show a tough hour for me is women's questions to the gynecologist.
Dr. Debbie, so many women think that you pee and have a baby from the same hole.
Okay, I'm watching this going, could a show on the vagina be any less sexy? This is not what I tune into a Victoria's Secret Models talk show to see, is it?
They have sex education, basic sex education in all schools by the time you're like 13.
Are you saying this was on TV?
I'm saying this was a program that I watched in the comfort of my own home yesterday, yeah. Well, I tried to watch it. I had one hand over both eyes and most of the time.
Dr. Debbie, so many women think that you pee and have a baby from the same hole. So many people think you...
That's...
Oh, no. So many people think that. They really do. So it's good that you're saying that.
Absolutely. There are different parts. You don't pee from your clitoris. You don't pee from the vagina. You pee from the urethra.
All right. Okay. Listen, even the audience is going, oh, please. Oh, come on.
Here's what I like about Tyra, though. She honestly feels like she's imparting gold. There's so much of this information
people.
That nobody knows, and she's there to save you. F you.
But I do have to say, if there are people who believe that, I guess it would be useful for them to learn that information, but why does it have to be on TV? Why can't it just be with their doctor? You know what I mean?
It's also better when you're having these kind of shows to actually use the appropriate language. So urinate would be a nice way to say that as opposed to everyone talking about peeing.
No, she's so just... Oh, God.
It really makes it much worse.
I hate her.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows.
There are two things you can count on in every Tyra Banks talk show, no matter what the topic. One is she always has a warm and fuzzy memory about her mom. Very, very close with her mom. Her mom is her best friend. And here's a very sensitive reminisce that she has that she shares with the audience.
You know what my mom used to say, Dr. Debbie? Hmm. That you don't need douche because the vagina is a self-cleaning oven.
Well, that's a beautiful, beautiful sentence right there.
What? This is on TV?
Yeah, it was. I thought it was going to be sexy time when I volunteered to watch it, but that's so
not
much
at
with
all.
That.
By the way, Bean's the one who continues to support Tyra Banks.
I do love her.
Yeah, this really should turn you around, Bean.
Listen, every single time we bring in clips should turn them around, doesn't it?
So the other thing you'll always get on a Tyra show is everything always has to be about her. It always has to be. Yeah. Whatever the guest is going through, Tyra has gone through at times 1,000. So here's her check me out moment from yesterday's vagina show.
What I was about to do was crazy.
Okay, you know, everything she does at her show is always crazy. No matter what, if it's walking across the street to go to 7-Eleven, she makes it sound like she's the first person to ever do it, the only person to ever do it, and no one else could ever do it.
It's crazy. It's outrageous.
So let's find out what was so crazy that a lot of people think, how could you possibly have done it, Tyra?
Tyra, how could you do this?
What do you think it is? What could it be?
I'm afraid with this topic.
Well, she took a Listerine to get a pap smear. That's what she did. She actually went with a Listerine to get a pap smear.
But I wanted to make sure that Sarah would see the doctor, and I went all the way, all the way with Sarah. Check it out.
I went all the way. Check me out.
Wait a minute. And then she tossed it to a pre-recorded piece of her going?
Yes, of her taking a woman to get her first pap smear. A 28-year-old virgin, by the way, who had never been to a gynecologist. Tyra went with yesterday.
Whore.
So I didn't need to see that. I didn't need to see the gyno doctor.
No,
I didn't need to see the speculum. I didn't need to see any of that on my TV. It was a very unpleasant hour.
Of course it was.
And she's holding the woman's hand while the woman's getting the pap smear and has another story, another Tyra-licia story.
My personal doctor talks to me while she's performing my pap smear to kind of get my mind off of feeling nervous. So I wanted to do the same thing for Sarah. Just distract her from what's going on with a little small talk about my jank nails.
All right, I'm going to distract you right now. Look at my jank nails.
Your jank? Why are they jank?
Look how bad they are.
Oh, girl.
You know that's really bad.
What does that mean?
She's just looking at how chipped up her nail polish was or something. That was the way she distracted the woman from being nervous about the pap smear, I guess.
That's dumb.
Is there nothing about her that she thinks is not the most interesting thing in the world?
This show has not been helpful.
Look at my fingernails. How crazy is that? Outrageous.
I know you've got something in your hoo-ha for the first time ever, but instead, look at my chipped old nails. All right, two more quick clips. Again, final moments of the story of the show. More questions for the gynecologist. More stories no one ever needs to tell in public.
Speaking of coaching, you said that you're a coach, a cheerleading coach, but your friends have actually tried to coach you into using a tampon.
Okay.
What is, come on.
Right. Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, no. No, no, no.
Ew.
Now, I got to tell you, this is the one place where she might actually be helpful to some people.
Well, let's see what the woman's story is.
During one practice when I was actually a cheerleader in high school, they shoved me into a stall in the bathroom, gave me a tampon, and were like, you can do it, you can do it. And I'm in there screaming, no, I can't do it, please, no.
I mean, I guess she's trying to be helpful to women who don't feel like they can have these conversations. But
look,
I think what I'm saying is don't have these conversations.
Yes, you have them with your doctor. You have them with your best friend, maybe. You don't have it on TV, you whore.
And finally,
I have a teenage daughter, and our cycles seem to sync up.
What is up with that? All my girlfriends, like five of us, we hang out for a couple of months, and then it's just like, I'm on too. You're on. I'm on. What is that?
It's going to take me an awful long time and a lot of hot showers to be able to think of Tyra the way I like to think of Tyra after this show.
Shut the hell up.
That's what I have to say to her.
too much information on the vagina, I think, is what happened to me yesterday.
Bad information. That's the thing. It was a bad show. It could have been a good show. It could have been an interesting show. It's just a bad show.
It's just a vagina.
Oh,
I hate her.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore. A big f***ing whore.
Got some good news for you, Psycho Mike. Listen to this story from Fox News. Saudi marriage expert advises men in right way to beat their wives.
Yeah. Remember when we did Ask a Muslim?
Yes.
And he was in. And one of my biggest complaints with Islam is that they really seem to treat women at least like second-class citizens, at the very least.
As
more like pets.
Yeah, in the Middle East, it's brutal.
And there's a guy on the internet. You can go to krock.com to watch it, because it's really hard to believe anyone is saying these words to the internet roundup section of Kevin and Bean. But this guy, Dr. Muhammad Al-Arifi, he claims that you can admonish them a lot of times and then beating them. You know, beat them. That's how you keep your women under control, but not in the face. Don't beat them in the face.
Is that because you don't want to make them ugly?
Mm-hmm.
Let's find out, Lisa, because rather than put words in the good doctor's mouth, we thought we'd have him on, give him a chance to put his remarks in contest. So let's welcome Dr. Muhammad Al-Arifi to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're very well. Of course, your remarks have caused quite a controversy here in the United States of America.
Oh,
Fox News did a...
Come on, for God's sake. Come on, for the sake of Allah. Come on.
What does that mean, come on?
Look, let's face it. Women are out of control, right? Are you with me, fellas? Okay, hey, everybody.
It's illegal to beat them here.
It's illegal to beat them. Someone hit her.
We don't hit women here, dude.
Well, that's your problem. This is how much she talks. She just talk. Out of turn, she talks.
Look, I'm not saying we don't want to. I'm not saying it doesn't cross her mind. I'm not saying they don't deserve it. But what I'm saying is we've trained ourselves to not do it.
Well, I train you to go back to the way things should be. That's what I'm here for. That's what Dr. Muhammad Al-Arifi is here for you to do.
All right, so explain the rules to us on exactly how that works.
Now, first of all, beating is not the first resort.
Not
okay. Okay.
First, you insult them and tell them to shut up a lot.
Really?
Right, we've done that.
Okay,
that we've done.
That's the first thing.
You have to admonish them the way you would a bad dog.
No, you don't.
You do it once, twice, three times, four times, 10 times. You do whatever times you feel comfortable.
Okay.
If they don't respond, then you say, fine, I am not sharing my bed with you. you do not get to lay down to a next to a smelly Saudi.
That will teach
you. That will teach you.
All right, so step two is to not share a bed with them.
Right. Then if that doesn't work, then we get into the fun stuff.
Really?
I'm sorry, the fun stuff.
No, then we get into the third step, I meant to say.
Right, third step.
Which is then you just beat them just lightly, though. I mean, come on, we're not talking about a child here, you know?
Right.
You don't just smack them around and beat them till they're bloody. We're not talking about a kid. This is a woman.
But doctor, why do you have to... This is what we don't understand. Why do you have to resort to violence? Why can't you settle your differences with your partner in a more mature way?
Because that involves them talking. And right. What you're trying to do is get them to shut the hell up.
I see. I understand.
Shut up! Now, but when you beat them, please do not beat them heavily, just light beating.
Okay, just light. Okay.
And never hit them in a place it will show.
Okay, and why is that?
But if she's wearing a burqa, that gives us a lot of room. Huh, fellas? Are you with me? Are you with me, fellas? Huh?
Why are you,
you
not
know what I'm saying?
Why are you not supposed to hit them where it shows?
Because it looks bad. And look, there's very, very little skin we can see anyway. So you want to keep that part looking good. So don't punch her in the eye. Then she'll have a black eye. And you look at that woman in the burqa and go, ooh, she's hideous.
So the only reason you don't want to hit them in the face is because you want their face to still remain hot.
Yes. Also, if you hit them in the face, it swells, and then you can't get the muzzle on.
Oh.
The muzzle?
You know what I'm saying?
Did you say muzzle?
Are you with me, fellas, huh?
No, we're not with you.
How about that, huh, fellas? Are you with me?
No.
All right, right on, my brothers.
Now, is this a widely accepted practice in Saudi Arabia, or are you just considered a nut job there, too?
No, this is, it's not widely practiced, but we need more practice, I think, to get really good at it. Like anything, practice makes perfect.
What exactly are the women doing that's so terrible?
Will you shut up? Shut up your face!
She's just asking...
Shut up your endless talking face!
What? Let me ask you.
You're talking again.
You don't want women to.
It's like a knife in my head when you speak.
What is wrong with you?
I'm just asking. It's like I'm torturing him.
How do you put up with that? How do you two men put up with that?
Just asking a question.
That is where it starts. That's the first trouble when they start asking questions.
I see.
Next thing they want to have, can I please go outside? Oh, can I vote? Oh, can I take off this hot, sweaty black burqa in 112 degrees? No is the answer to all of the above.
They seem reasonable,
those requests. Oh, listen to your voice. Oh, my God. It's like chewing on glass.
That is not true.
You should hit her right in the baby maker.
They're not allowed
What is
to.
Wrong
Punch
with you?
Punch her in the baby maker. No, I insist upon
no,
it.
No, you never hit a woman.
Dr. Muhammad Al-Arifi insists you punch her in the baby maker.
No, you're not going to do it.
Hit her with a 2x4 with a nail in it.
What is wrong with you?
Wow.
I thought you said light beating.
That is light, baby. You don't know from heavy.
All right,
you right, my brothers?
No.
I think we're going to have to distance ourselves from you and from this conversation
at
this
least
time,
put her
doctor.
In the goddamn basement.
That
you?
We could do.
Come on.
Okay.
No.
That sounds like a good idea.
God in heaven.
That we could do, yeah.
You listen to that all the time, that voice?
They're fine with my voice.
It's like acid being born in my urethra.
Stop it. We find her sexy. What's wrong with you?
It's like someone jamming my anus with steel wool pads.
Not true. That is terrible.
Oh, dear God, you must be so lonely.
What is wrong with you?
What man would listen to you?
You are crazy. Plenty of men.
You're all right, Doc?
I'm sorry, I got some sand caught in my throat.
Kevin, what's the best goddamn internet television show there is?
Let's paint. Let's paint. It's on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and just click on Let's Paint, you'll get a bunch of different episodes. But this is a guy who does a cable access show here in Southern California. And cable access does not have any of the rules that the FCC have. So you can say anything you want on cable access.
Wow.
And he takes live calls. This is a guy who... He's way out of shape, but he runs on a treadmill.
Yes.
In a three-piece suit.
Yes. He cooks, he exercises, and he makes blended drinks while painting.
Wow.
Now, and the funny thing is he can't do any of it well. His paintings are horrible. But he does it under the guise of trying to help you learn to multitask and be creative.
Okay.
And we've had the dude on as a guest, and he seems like a cool guy. He seems like a nice guy, and you watch him, and you're fascinated by what he's doing, A. And then you add the live phone calls that he takes, and it takes it in a whole different direction. You feel so bad for the guy, yet you can't help but laugh at how funny the people are that are calling.
So a band is playing at the beginning of this episode, and I'm going to let him introduce exactly who the band is.
All right, all right, we got Ado Alacost in the house, and wow, what a way to start off this multitasking performance here we got here for you today, tonight, wherever you're seeing us, all over the world. We got Inga, the Swedish exchange student. I was going to say Swedish something else, but I better just hold off on that.
Please, no.
Okay, so he's got a Swedish exchange student with gigantic knockers.
Right.
He, by the way, is already out of breath.
He's always out of breath. No one walks on a treadmill less than he does until the camera rolls.
She kind of looks like Jack Bauer's daughter Kim on 24 if she were younger and bustier. That's who we're talking about.
Yeah, but not nearly as hot, I don't think. She's not as hot as
maybe not as hot, but she definitely is in that mold, though.
So,
I think.
So he's got that. He's got her cooking, and he's got Anal Holocaust. That's the band.
Where did he find this band?
Oh, they're awesome. So he takes calls. So now he's walking on the treadmill. She's behind him cooking. The band's behind him waiting, and this guy takes a call.
Hello, you're on live.
Your show sucks.
And that's our favorite thing about this show is that every single call is a crank call. Every single one of them is somebody having a good time at his expense.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of calls is he expecting? It's not like there's a question of the day that he wants to get topics. I mean, people don't have anything else to say to him except to goof on him.
And I don't know if he understands that or not, but he does take a lot of calls consistently, and they're all bad. You'd think he'd learn and go, not going to take calls, but that doesn't happen. So he's on the treadmill, and Inga's just sitting there cooking, and that's not good enough for this caller.
Yeah, this is for Inga. Short.
All right. Okay, let's try that. Let's hold off on that kind of stuff.
Okay, so he wants her to show her boobs.
And Inga goes,
Well, let's hold off on that kind of stuff. Let's be more positive. That's what he says every single time. So now Inga is cooking, and she's cooking some kind of a pie, and she's putting liverwurst in it.
Oh. Ew.
So she obviously can't cook either, but this is the explanation.
Inga, what's going on there? It smells like liverwurst or something.
Well, you know, what we like to do in Sweden is we add to meat.
Yes.
The pie, and so I bring in the big stick, which I like a lot.
That's what she said.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm going to put this in the pie, and then you will like it.
And then you will like it.
She doesn't sound for real.
No, she doesn't at all.
She's totally an actress.
Yeah. So then they toss it back to another song. It's time for another song from Anal Holocaust.
Not to forget about Anal Holocaust. Let's have them do another little set there.
All right, this song's about the show. It's called What the Fuck.
So he says, this song is about Let's Paint, and he says, what the F? That's the name of the song. So then now he talks to Inga about the band and if they have that kind of band in Sweden.
Do you get a lot of bands like that over there in Sweden?
Not one with the big F word in it.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Not one with the big F word in it. So somebody else calls, and they want to see her boobs again. And she deals with this, but I want you to listen to the blender and how it's louder than her and him and everybody involved.
This is not the show about my breasts.
Come on.
I beg to differ.
Well.
Look, we're trying to break into cross-culturalization, cross-multiplications, multitasking, the whole thing.
All right, good.
What?
So he takes another call, and this is where
How's that go?
This is a K-Rock listener, apparently, who calls and asks him about being on our show, among other things.
Oh. Hey, Red, why are you selling out now?
Selling out? Why are you selling out now?
The band, you've been on Kevin and Bean, now you're big time or what?
Yeah, big time, man, big time, that's right.
Yeah, I just want to say, what's up, Al Cerrito? Armenian.
All right, okay.
Yeah. What did he say? I'm sorry.
F the Armenians is what he said.
That's El Sereno.
Really? I mean, every single call is like that. Every call. That's why I love the show. And so then they're talking about eating the pie.
Can you please taste the pie for us?
Of course I taste pie.
Yeah. I think that'd be
kind of...
Oh!
What was that?
He still wants to see her boobs.
Well,
every call included that. And then finally, the coup de grace call. And this is a guy who's tired of the boob calls.
Hi, caller. Welcome to Let's Pay Cook Size Blood Drinks.
I was wondering if Inga could rub her all over my face.
All right. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Maybe later, but not right now. I'm busy.
Busy.
How does this show stay on cable access? I mean, I'm glad that it does, but why doesn't the TV station go, well, that's not really serving the public interest?
Dude, there's no standards for cable access. None.
Really?
Anyone can do anything. So look, if you want to find this, go to the video page of Kevin and Bean, or you can just go to YouTube and type Let's Paint. And this guy is he's mad.
First, KRQ-FM Pasadena, Los Angeles, Tuesday morning. Ralph's here with the Show Biz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
My eye's a little itchy.
Oh, no.
Don't even say that.
No.
Are you kidding?
No. It's been bugging me.
You're sharing an office with Pinky, right?
You were so careful.
I know.
But
if I get this, there's going to be a beatdown.
You're going to beat him up?
Yeah.
No one would blame you, dude. Lightning came in yesterday for folks who weren't with us. Knowing he had pink eye, knowing that it was contagious, he still came into work like a giant a-hole.
Yeah.
Well, I think
positive,
it was...
Because your eyes just get itchy. You know, it might be psychosomatic, but if this thing blows up, it's lights out.
You better run?
Yeah.
I haven't been touching squat this
morning. Came in yesterday and touched everything.
He's got black gloves
today
on today.
He has gloves.
Freaking patient zero came in and was like slobbering his eye all over the place yesterday.
Aww. Yes, he was.
How do you slobber your eye all over?
Slobber. Just rub it all over crap.
Okay.
I hate him. Hey, guess what I've got?
Pink eye.
Besides that, I have 5 copies of the brand new game, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Yay! Fantastic.
You ever played Call of Duty?
No.
It's one of those first-person shooter games. It's the other ones all take place in World War II. But this is the first modern one. So this is really a spectacular game if you were a gamer. And it comes out today. But why buy it? Why go down to Best Buy and pick it up?
Best Buy?
When I can give it to you for free.
That sounds even better.
You, because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
We've got it in all the different incarnations. We got it for Windows, PlayStation 3, or Xbox 360. If you'd like a brand spanking new copy of the brand spanking new game Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, call, let's say callers 11 through 15. How about that? 11 through 15 at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 11 through 15, get a copy of the game, the platform of their choice, because I love you.
That's nice of you.
Thank you. I thought so.
I didn't know you cared that much.
I do. I care about each and every one of our listeners.
All right.
Here's a great list from a website called DoubleViking.com. It's an entertainment news website, and they have listed the 5 hottest legal celebrities under 21.
Now we're talking.
This is my kind of category. Let's start at number 5, shall we?
Okay.
Katrina Bowden. You familiar with Katrina Bowden?
No. Should I be?
You probably are. You just don't know her name's Katrina Bowden. She plays the assistant/secretary of Tina Fey on 30 Rock.
Oh, yes.
You know that
she has very few lines.
Oh, yeah. That beautiful blonde who goes bouncing around the office and drives all the guys crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's on the list. She's 19 years old.
Uh-huh.
19 years old and already a funny, accomplished actress.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not too shabby. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I think you do.
I agree.
Also on the list, Gemma Ward.
Don't know who that is.
One of the hottest supermodels in the world. She's only 20 years old.
I mean,
she's looks, money, and fresh meat. She's got everything.
Who wrote this list? Larry Flint? What are we talking about?
Sasha Gray is probably the best known of the under 21 porn starlets. She's the woman who stars in that new movie that Dave Navarro just directed from Tara Patrick.
Okay.
Sasha Gray. She is 20. Actually, she's 19. Oh. And she is just filthy. Filthy, filthy girl.
In a good way.
In the best possible way.
Yeah.
Evan Rachel Wood.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Beautiful 20-year-old actress. She does lose a few points because she lets Marilyn Manson pound her every night, but she is still a spectacular looking broad.
We do have a rule that you don't ever want to go after Marilyn Manson.
Nope.
And number one, hottest legal celebrity under 21?
Hayden Panettiere.
How do you like me now, Hayden Panettiere?
Has to be. Has to be.
Come on now.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Did you see Heroes last night?
No.
Did you see it last night?
No.
Did not.
She was this close to eating a popsicle. She went into the freezer. She went into the freezer. She pulled it out. She was taking the wrapper. I'm like, eat it! Eat the popsicle! Screaming at the top of my neighbors are calling the cops. Put it in your mouth! Eat the popsicle! No, Dad comes home and ruins it.
Are they just toying with you by giving her a popsicle now? They never used to do that when she was 17.
No, now they're just yanking my chain, and I have to say I do not appreciate it.
Give her a banana.
Hey, you want to see the greatest TV show ever?
No.
What is it?
I'm off.
I have a way that you can get tickets.
I mean, yes.
To the very first filmings of the what promises to be the greatest TV show ever.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a little thing I like to call American Gladiators. It's back. It's back. And it's better than ever. They're looking for audience members. You get to go to Sony Studios in Culver City and see them film American Gladiators live. You get to be in the audience rooting for your favorite. Go Turbo!
So this is good news because Psycho Mike, who couldn't cut it as a contestant and then couldn't cut it as a gladiator, now can maybe cut it as an audience member.
Please do not bring up that story because he might just suck us back into that vortex. Yeah. You remember how long it took him to tell the story of American Gladiators?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, dear Lord. Still going on.
Go to AmericanGladiatorsTickets.com right now. Do it.
Okay.
If you want to get tickets to go see the American Gladiators, once again, it's AmericanGladiatorsTickets.com.
That sounds unnecessary.
If you write me an email and say, Ralph, how do I get American Gladiator tickets on the internet?
Right.
I will hunt you down and punch you in the head.
Email that to Bean. He has an amazing patience for that.
AmericanGladiatorsTickets.com. It's just that simple.
Ralph will come to your house and rub his pink eye all over if you email him about this.
I will give you the pink. And I am not afraid to say so.
Pink eye.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's just a vagina.
Shooting starts November 28th, so get your tickets now because I'm guaranteeing you there's going to be a waiting list in about a minute. Check it out. Today's celebrity birthday is Mike Nichols, legendary director. You ever see The Graduate, Kevin, with Dustin Hoffman?
No.
Boy, is that a great movie. Still holds up to this day. 76 years old today. Glenn Frey of the Eagles turned 60. Sally Field, an actress who won an Emmy this year for a TV show that does not exist.
Isn't that weird? It's like a hypothetical Emmy.
How hard it is to do that. It's amazing. She's 61 years old today. Ethan Hawke is 37. And Rebecca Romijn, model actress, will be on Carpoolers tonight.
The new hit TV show Carpoolers.
She's 35.
That one didn't exist.
That show's crazy,
and Ugly Betty, which is also an excellent show.
She's 35 years old today. Wow, ABC is just the Lisa Network.
They
just changed their name to the Lisa Network.
I didn't know when that happened, but it is.
Only a viewer of one. And Lisa's the only person watching ABC these days.
But I watch the crap out of them.
You sure do. You just give them the pink eye. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How did you get the gonorrhea?
From a maker.
Sexy time.
The juice.
Throw the juice down the well.
Ladies very much like a Borat. High five. I want to catch a herpes from my sister.
That means you had sexual relations with your sister.
Yes.
Did you have sexual relations with any other family members?
No, I am not a sick.
Do you think a woman should be educated?
Definitely.
But is it not a problem that a woman have a smaller brain than a man?
You be my wife. I treat you nice.
The woman has a right to choose who she has sex with. That's good, huh?
It's not good for me.
I like.
Ladies and gentlemen, the fourth most famous person in the great country of Kazakhstan is back. We're talking about Borat Sagdiyev, who joins us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous Carrier. Good morning, Borat.
Much. I love US and Los Angeles people.
Well, we appreciate that very much, and it's very good to talk to you again. Congratulations on having two brand new books in the stores today, Borat.
It is a one book because we did not have enough paper to make two books.
Oh, it's one book. Okay. One book together. I see. Okay, fantastic. Now, Borat, the books are the touristic guidings to the glorious nation of Kazakhstan, where you are from, and also the touristic guidings to the minor nation of USNA. It's a good old-fashioned travel book, right?
Yes, it is a travel book. It shows many reasons for you to visit Kazakhstan.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you come to my capital city of Astana, you must visit the great statue of Melvin Gibson's.
Melvin Gibson's?
It is 670 feet tall with a staircase inside so children can climb up and throw potatoes on Jutan from his anus.
That sounds like a wonderful tourist attraction, and I wouldn't have known about that without your book.
Yes, you must also come to our Astana Zoo, because I know in the West there are zoos where there are rumors of cruelty, but at Astana Zoo we guarantee it.
You guarantee cruelty?
Yes, there we have advanced breeding program. My favorite was when I see a polar bear make a sexy time inside a sheep.
Oh, that's very sad. That's actually now, very, very sad.
You sound like you're...
It was a nice. The polar bear was very happy.
Okay.
The sheep was sad.
It sounds like you're very excited to have people come visit your country, but what about the U.S. and A.?
USA is a very exciting place. I make this guide of USA for people in my country
okay.
who need to learn about the good things and also the dangers of USA.
Like what? What are one of the good things?
There are many good things. For example, this place in New York City and also Los Angeles. When I was in Los Angeles, I go to Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh.
And I go to a very nice nightclub there called The Manhole. Inside there was many friendly men, but only one woman who reminded me of a Kazakh woman because she had a very big hands and a deep voice. Hey, baby, hey, baby. This lady take me home with her.
Oh.
The next day I awake in my hotel room. She had disappeared. But my anus was hang loose like the mouth of a tired dog.
Oh, okay then. All right.
Well, it's good that you would warn people visiting the United States to perhaps stay away from the manhole. I think you're doing a real public service there, Brad.
No, I thought you were saying that's a positive. That's a good thing.
No, it was very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, you enjoyed it. I'm sorry. I misunderstood that.
Sure.
Now, did you get a chance to see, as you were researching the book, Borat, did you see a lot of America? Did you visit many places around the country or just a few big cities?
I visit also Washington, D.C., very nice place. It is a home of Warlord George Walter Bush.
George Walter Bush, yes.
Right,
we
correct.
In Kazakhstan admire him because his philosophy is attack a country first and ask questions later.
Yes, indeed.
You have to love that, certainly, yes. Now, do you anticipate a lot of tourists going back and forth between the countries as a result of your book?
Yes, very much. We hope that tourists will come to Kazakhstan and find out about our country and please enjoy the sights and also the fact that we have some of the cleanest prostitutes in Central Asia.
Which brings up a good question, which is how is your sister doing? Still fourth?
My sister is very good. There is a problem, though.
Oh.
She have slipped from number 4 prostitute in Kazakhstan to number 7.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
This is because of increase in competition of prostitutes created by the new Televizky show, Kazakhstan's Next Top Prostitute.
Well, that's going to do it. That'll bring people out of the woodwork. Sure, I understand.
The rights have not changed for me. She still give it for free.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes.
There is now, a nice photo of me making sexy time with my sister. I hope you will like it.
I'm sure we will, yeah.
In the USA segment of the book, Borat, you do have advice for tourists to our country on how to gain entry into the American vagina without spending money. Do you have any tips you can share here on the radio?
There are tips, yes, because you do not always have to pay your monies for a sexy time in the USA.
Right.
In a USA, you can make a romance with a girl. Also, there are things called public lavatories. you can go in there and take your camera and peek over the top.
That's not generally encouraged here in America.
Why not? It's nice. Also, if you are in Los Angeles and do not have a camera, but still wish to see a lady in minus clothes to make a hand relief, then I recommend you look on the junction of Fair Street and Robinson Street, apartment 3-4.
Okay.
The lady who lives in there usually appears in just her antipants at 8:30 a.m.
I see.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Now, I know that you're running out of time here, Borat, but you're going to be in Southern California tomorrow night, right?
Yes, I am going to be making my only appearance in USA to make book signings at a place called the Borders Bookstore in Westwood.
Yes, Borders.
It's called Westwood.
1360 Westwood Boulevard, and that's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. You can meet and get your book signed by Borat.
Please come, and if there are ladies, I'd like to enjoy you. I will carry you against your will.
Borat, Touristic Guidings to the Minor Nation of USA, and Borat, Touristic Guidings to the Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan, in stores everywhere today. Borders Bookstore, Westwood Boulevard, L.A., tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Borat, so great to have you back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for joining us.
It's very nice to be back here. I missed you, and I love you.
Thank you, Borat.
I like sex.
Yes, you do. See you tomorrow night. Ask Kevin, you, and Psycho Mike to withhold judgment until we've had a chance to meet Beth, because it seems to me like you've prejudged her, and I don't think that's fair.
All right.
All right. Beth, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Beth.
Here's the email. Hey, guys, love the show. You guys are awesome, which, by the way, clearly sucking up, clearly wants something.
Yeah.
I know you answer these emails all the time, but seriously, I'm 5'5", 115 pounds, very fit, cute, and naturally blonde. I've attached a picture because I know you guys always like those. And your complaint is what, Beth? You look like you have a lot going on, but what's the complaint that you describe in the email where you need some help from Kevin and Bean?
Well, guys either don't talk to me or they're complete losers. Had bad experiences.
So your first complaint is the guys won't talk to you.
Uh-huh.
Like, you go up to a guy and say hi, and he just turns around and walks away? What do you mean?
No, just I'm out with friends or whatever, and, like, nobody comes up to me or, like, any of my friends. It's kind of weird.
Hmm. Have you talked to your girlfriends about this? Do you ask them if maybe you're putting off some sort of a stay-away-from-me vibe?
No, not really.
So all your girlfriends are having the same problem as you?
Yeah. I don't know.
So you're bringing the whole group down. Just hanging out with you makes them less hot, is what's going on here.
If you weren't there, guys would hit on them left and right.
Well, I got to say, a big group of girls can be intimidating.
By the way, very intimidating for a guy.
Yeah, and a group of hot women. Sometimes it's better to just go out in pairs.
Okay.
You know what guys do, honestly, what guys do when they show up in a bar or a nightclub or something like that? You know, they check out the landscape and they go, okay, out of my league, okay. And they kind of size everybody up like what they think they could make happen.
Nice. Okay.
And that's what happens. I'm just telling you the truth.
And sometimes the ones that hit on you are the ones that should say out of my league and don't get it.
And don't. Yeah, that is true. That does happen.
Now, Beth, what about, how old are you, first of all?
29.
Okay. You have been out on dates in the last few years, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what goes on or what goes wrong with those dates?
Well, I went out with this guy. We totally hit it off. I had a great time. The second date, I met up with him and his buddies, and he was all coked out of his gourd.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
That's not your fault. I mean, that's just a bad choice right there.
Now, where do you go out to? Because sometimes they say, I mean, clubs and stuff they're kind of iffy. They say that you should go and do things that you love to do. And in the process of that, you'll meet people who love what you like to do and you guys will hit it off.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, anything you love to do besides going to clubs?
Going to the beach or something like that? Or
I like to run and work out pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. So what, in the gym, you just get meatheads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Running clubs might be an idea.
Running clubs? What the
hell
is
that? People that train for marathons and stuff.
Oh. Here's what I love about the K-Rock audience. They're already sizing you up, Beth, and they're already calling. Not in, some of them good, some of them bad, but they're already calling with their opinion on what's going wrong. So what we'd like to do is take a break, if you can hold on.
Sure.
And then we'll have people call in with their suggestions on how to meet more men or how to be, you know, less icy cold, something like that.
It does seem like we have some armchair psychiatrists out there who can already tell what your problem is, having just heard you on the radio for 2 minutes. And that's what's beautiful about our crowd.
Oh, I can tell what's wrong with her yesterday when we talked here, for God's sakes. But we'll take a quick break and we'll come back. And by the way, just for the record, the picture that she sent in, smoking hot.
Okay.
So,
oh, yeah.
It's not a looks problem.
I'd do her a favor.
It wouldn't be a favor from you. All right, we'll take a quick break. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
K-Rock listener Beth is on the line right now. Hey, we played that song for you, Beth, called Wrong Way. Did you hear that?
Oops, sorry, I don't have her on the phone yet. There we go.
Oh,
go ahead.
Hey, Beth.
Hey.
Thanks for holding on. Beth, if you're just joining us, is 5'5", 115 pounds, very fit, cute, naturally blonde, attached a picture. We can verify, if that picture is really you, Beth, that she actually is indeed a hottie. But she's having trouble. She's got two bad scenarios happening. She goes out, no one talks to her, or when she does have a date, the guy's either a weirdo or just wants to nail her first night out. So that's the problem that she's bringing to the table on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You've had a couple of minutes to listen to Beth and think about the problem. Why don't we start with Greg in Monterey Park? He is on line 6 with some advice that we have long espoused here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I think he dropped.
Just hung up,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he was inviting Beth to lower her standards.
Yeah, I mean, that was his first advice. All right, let's go to Kenny in Costa Mesa. Good morning, Kenny. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, guys.
Hi, Kenny.
What do you think about Beth?
I think, why doesn't she go up and hit on a group of guys? I mean, you're with all your girlfriends. You go up to a couple guys. I mean, they'll take their interest. They'll buy you a drink, but it's kind of intimidating to walk up. What do you do? Hey, come here often? I mean, it's retarded. Just go up and talk to a guy yourself.
Hey, girls, I find one of you hot.
Yeah, no, he's right. You should take the bull by
the
horns
initiative.
Once in a while, yeah.
I agree that they're going to think I want to, like, sleep with them right then.
No, don't worry about that
well,
so much.
First of all guys think that. Not very okay. Few act on it, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
but you do have to be a little braver.
If you find somebody attractive, I mean, you don't know. It really is way intimidating to walk up to a group of hot chicks.
Yeah.
That's way intimidating.
Okay.
So you should, if you see somebody that looks good to you, you should hit on them.
All right.
Or,
give
you know.
A shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, go say hi.
At least have a conversation and see if it's worth going further. Let's talk to Joe on line two. He's in Huntington Beach. Now, this is what we're talking about, Beth, before we put you on hold. People have had the chance to hear you for a couple minutes on the radio and are starting to make judgments about your personality, which may or may not be true, but it also may be what people are getting in the in-person vibe as well. Hey, Joe, you're on the air with Beth. Go ahead.
Hey, Beth, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, in my opinion, just listening to you for the past, you know, minute, 2 minutes, whatever, I think you need to lower your bitch shield.
Ooh!
I'm not saying that to offend you.
What does that mean?
Many girls, when they're out at a bar, a club, wherever, they don't feel like they want to meet guys there. I mean, every girl I talk to says, I don't want to meet a guy at a bar because, you know, that's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
Right? And, I mean, I think that's a bunch of BS because you can meet people anywhere. So a lot of girls, what they'll do, they'll go out to bars, they'll be hanging out with their friends, and they'll put up this, what I call this shield, where they don't send out, they don't invite people to approach them, like, mm-hmm. to come up and approach them.
They don't smile.
Yeah, you know, you get the smile, eye contact, just standing near the guy that you might want to talk to. What that guy Kenny said from Costa Mesa about going up and just opening, you know, just going up to a guy and talking to him, I can kind of see where he's going with that, but the problem with that is, I don't know about other guys, but I like to be in control when I'm in an interaction.
Right.
And if a girl comes up and approaches me, she's in control of the interaction.
And that's bad for you?
So you don't like that?
You can't deal with that, Joe?
Are you kidding me?
Wow, Joe's got more problems than Beth does.
What the hell? All right, thank you for the call. Bitch shield, Beth?
Yeah, I don't think there's one of those going on.
You don't think so?
No.
Because I'll tell you this, we've done hundreds of singles parties, and there is a type of person who shows up at those single parties that drives us all crazy, and they're the person that spends about 10 minutes sizing up the crowd and then starts to come to us to complain that there's no one good there.
Yep.
And that drives us crazy because we're like, you don't have any idea if there's someone good here. There's probably a lot of good people here. You're not one of them. That really drives us. It drives us crazy about a singles party and people that do that.
Okay.
Let's talk to Fia, by the way, or Fia, forgive me, in West L.A. She is on line six. Maybe some good advice for Beth. Maybe good advice for everybody who's out there. Hey, Fia, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you got?
Hey, thanks a lot. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
Long-time listener. Beth, you know what? If you smile and you have a drink and then you just go to the bar and you look approachable, tuck your shoulders in, guys will approach you. I'm 5'11". I had the same issue, and I said, what the hell? So I just... You know, I would always just stand there before, and then I just loosened up and I would talk to guys and say hi and, you know, let them know that I could talk. And mm-hmm. and when they know that you can say hi, they say, okay, that's the door. That's the open door. And not to put a plug for any films, but if you watch Knocked Up, there you go. You know, just say hello, and then you get there's a foot in. And then they'll talk to you. But, you know, don't think that just because they're not the superstar-looking people that they don't have anything to say and they're not nice people.
That's the problem right there. See, I think it would be hard to be – thank you for the call. We appreciate it. I think it would be hard to be hot because you want someone else hot.
I got to tell you, drop-dead, gorgeous men.
Yeah. You look at you walk into a bar, you're looking for an Abercrombie & Fitch model. A lot of times, they don't have it going on. That's the problem with super hot people. They don't have to depend on their personality.
Right.
That's very true.
unless you're super whore and you're just looking to hit it and quit it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
In that case, you do want to go for the hottie, but you don't care whether they have anything to say the next day.
Right.
All right. So Chris says, make eye contact with guys. Jason says, you don't sound like you're having a lot of fun when you're out. Having fun would make you more approachable.
Okay.
Let's take Greg's call because I find this funny. Greg, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean?
Hi, Greg.
Hey, Beth. You know what? I really think here's the problem. You got to lower your standards a little bit. Girls are like 5'5" and blonde and hot are a dime a dozen in this town. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting one.
So lower your standards is what we're getting from a lot of listeners.
Okay, I don't think I can lower them anymore.
It's hard to lower them beyond zero if you're not dating anybody right now. I understand what you're saying.
Okay. Now you can lower your standards, please.
Aaron's saying to go online. Have you ever tried that?
Yeah, I don't want to do that again.
Didn't work.
Wow.
Better
party of one.
We're almost out of time here, Beth. I just want to say you're not getting any younger, first of all. You got to think about that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you say you're 29, which means you're 31. So what I'm saying is I think there's been some good advice. Make it at least fake like you're having a good time when you're out and smile and be approachable and don't be afraid to talk to guys. And I think that'll clear up most of the problems you're describing.
Okay.
All right, we want you to call us back in a week. And tell us what kind of progress you're making.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Beth.
Bye now.
See you later.
See, that's why it's hard to be.
Think she took any of that? You think she
sounded
listened
like it.
Any of that?
Oh, yeah, I think she was listening.
I hope so.
You learn a lot of that stuff when you're not hot because you can't count on being hot.
Right.
So that's out. So then you got to figure out
a personality, right. And be friendly.
You got to be funny. You got to be approachable. You learn all that stuff when you're not hot. I think you're at a disadvantage when you're hot because you think that's enough.
In fact, I'm going to go a step further, Kevin, and say that we are the spokes kids for not hot. We've got that. Mike Shinoda from the band Linkin Park joins us just after the news at 8 o'clock, and director Kevin Smith on the Writers Guild Strike Day 2 next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
When will it end? When will the strike end?
I don't even remember a time when writers worked in this town, man. My whole life, it seems like they've been off.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I want to read a quick email. You know, I give away stuff from time to time, tickets for premieres, today I just gave away some copies of the video games, and so
because you love,
because I love,
mm-hmm.
And it's nice when the KREC listeners appreciate the stuff we give away.
Right.
Every once in a while, I get a little thank you note, like I did here from Bob from Redondo Beach. I want to give him a shout out and read his email real quick, if I could. Hello, Ralph. I won tickets to the Beowulf premiere, and I wanted to thank you for giving them away. The movie was very cool. But the best part of the night is when Omar ran down the red carpet. He was obviously loaded and started screaming, "I am Beowulf! I am Beowulf!" and tried to kick the crap out of Crispin Glover, who plays Grendel in the movie.
Oh, no.
Then before the screening even started, he jumped up on the screen on the stage in front of the screen, screaming at Angelina Jolie, "My loins burn for you!" That was kind of over the top.
Ralph.
Omar is pretty feisty when he's effed up.
Hey, Ralph.
Yeah, Omar, I'm trying to read an email here.
Yeah. That wasn't mean. I didn't go to the premiere.
You didn't go to the premiere?
That wasn't me.
You didn't try to kick the crap out of Crispin Glover?
No.
Hmm. Oh.
Would have been cool, though.
He sure would have.
Had he been there, he would have.
Yeah. It was probably Rodney.
Yeah, it probably was Rodney. But I know you two get mixed up a lot.
You know.
Oh, sorry, Omar. I thought this guy was telling the truth.
Not me.
Bob from Dondo. Right. Well, sorry, Bob. It wasn't Omar at all. Turns out.
It is funny, anytime you see somebody with just completely outrageous and inappropriate behavior, the first thought that comes to all of our mind is, how did Omar get here?
Sure, exactly. Well, too bad.
It's not just a joke, by the way, people. That's based on reality.
Yeah, really.
You've been to Vegas with the dude, you know.
The reality is so much worse than anything we could make up.
He's out of his freaking mind.
Yeah, he really is. Well, as Bean mentioned, it is day two of the writer's strike, and a lot of high-profile writers, actors and directors are standing up on behalf of the WGA. One of those is J.J. Abrams.
Oh.
No.
One of our pals, of course, a creator of Alias, a co-creator of Lost, and currently working on the Star Trek prequel over at Paramount. J.J. Abrams says he will honor his contractual obligation to work as a director on the upcoming Star Trek movie, but he said he will also serve some time in the picket lines outside of Paramount Pictures where he is making the movie.
Wow.
So he's going to make a movie and picket it at the same time.
He's
going to
make a movie for Paramount and stand in front of Paramount and picket them at the same time.
Now, he's not in the Writers Guild?
He is.
He is. He's not going to write.
He's not working as a writer on Paramount.
I see. He's working as a
Star Trek. He's working as a director.
Gotcha.
He's going to say, cut, I'll be right back. And he runs out front. He
grabs a sign. Started chanting things. Apparently, they're doing this in front of Paramount. Like, who's got more money than they can count? Paramount.
Wow.
Dude, you're writers. You can't come up with a better slogan than that.
It is
that
a group.
Blows. Maybe they should have locked you out instead of you striking. You don't deserve a raise if that's what you're coming up with.
Good point.
That's right.
It's got no meter. It's got no rhythm.
I saw several celebrities on the picket line yesterday. You probably did, too. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was out there. Yeah. Tina Fey, of course. I saw Jay Leno. I mean, a bunch of them are out there, at least, you know, appearing to have, you know, be in simpatico with the writers.
James L. Brooks, one of the legendary directors, writers, who was one of the brains behind The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's been seen on the picket lines. As being mentioned, Tina Fey has been, and almost the entire writing staff of Lost has been seen on the picket lines. Well, they can stay there.
Yeah. We're going to replace them anyway.
Yeah.
We need a whole new crew in there. Maybe get some scabs in there. We can make some sense of that goddamn show.
But you said yesterday that there's not even a next meeting planned. So what are we waiting on next? What's the next step going to be? There's no,
from
there's
what
not
I
even
understand,
talking.
And I may be wrong, but I believe I'm right. It was the writers who walked away from the meeting table this past weekend after about 10 hours of working with the representatives for the producers.
Right.
Said, we're so far away, F this, we're striking. You guys are just going to have to come to your senses. And the producers, again, this is from what I understand, said, look, just give us another week of talks before you walk out. Let's try to work this out. And they said, no, we're too far apart. So I think it's going to take a major concession on behalf of the producers to get the writers back to the table just to talk about stuff. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens. In the meanwhile, a lot of movie and TV stars who won't be working due to the strike are turning to the stage. One big name will be on stage is Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter.
Sure.
After a successful run in London's West End and Equus, he will reprise his role on Broadway. Which is good news if you want to see Harry Potter's wand.
Is that right?
Because Daniel gets nude.
I've seen
Equus.
The photos.
And so I hope to get a copy of that.
His American fans will have a chance to see him naked on Broadway coming soon. So,
all right.
Congratulations to all you people who like naked Harry Potter. How many of those do you think there are?
Don't know.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
MSNBC is reportedly in talks with Rosie O'Donnell to give her her own nighttime talk show.
Wait, what network?
MSNBC.
No, that's all right. I don't watch it.
Daily Variety says that they're looking to put her in between Keith Olbermann's Countdown and some documentaries that they run at night.
No.
That would put her up against Larry King on CNN and Hannity and Combs on Fox. Dude. I would watch Hannity and Combs over Rosie O'Donnell.
That's wow, that's saying something.
That's how bad she is.
I don't totally think I'm gay.
Don't do it. Don't do it, MSNBC. And Gisele Bündchen, supermodel, has a new contract.
You all right, Mike?
Is that noise supposed to be sexy?
I don't know. It's something takes over me.
Yeah.
Has a new contract with Pantene. You know, the shampoo people?
Sure.
However, she is demanding to be paid in euros.
Hey, that's increasingly the case these days with the way the state of the dollar right now.
Rather than American currency, because the dollar value is currently at a 6-year low. How do you like that?
Doesn't seem like it would be that hard to pay her in euros for them, I imagine.
Listen, Gisele Bündchen, why don't you go back to Euroland or wherever they have euros and get the hell out of our country that gave you all the opportunities. If you don't like the American dollar, get the F out of the country. You Nazi whore?
I don't think she's a Nazi.
No, I don't think she's German either.
No.
Euro whore?
I don't think there's a Euro land either,
is
by
it?
The way. No.
Where do they use the Euro there?
Pretty sure.
It's got to be Euro land.
All over Europe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is she from? Gisele Bündchen.
You should know that.
She's not German?
I think she's Brazilian.
Brazilian.
Yeah. Still, though. Love it or leave it. Our country. We got American supermodels. We're happy to take American dollars.
Well, they'd take euros if they could, I'll tell you that.
Ralph, what would Toby Keith do?
He'd stick his cowboy boot up a forehead. And they're remaking the legendary horror sci-fi movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, one of my all-time favorite movies ever.
Classic film from 1951, one of the truly great sci-fi films.
Never saw that.
It's about
Kevin.
About an alien who comes to Earth and tells everyone to stop fighting. Stop warring with each other, Earthlings, or we will destroy you. Seems counterproductive.
Sounds dumb.
Sounds a little George Bushian, actually. Yeah, well, Klaatu Barata Nictu, of course, the famous line from that. Well, it looks like they're remaking it, and Keanu Reeves will be starring as the lead.
What would that sound like, Ralph?
Whoa. Klaatu Barata, whoa. That's what he'd say, pretty much. And it looks like Jennifer Connelly will be co-starring.
Okay.
Oh, that's high-end.
There's half a reason to go see that movie.
Now, Keanu makes some sense because the guy he's going to be playing is an alien who comes to Earth who has no familiarity with humans and their customs, basically, right. And is a little bit stiff.
Right.
I mean, it sounds like it's a good role for him.
I think he should play Klaatu. He should play the
robot.
Yeah,
he'd be better serve as a robot, whoa, even. You're right.
Whoa, I am metal. Whoa. Whoa, I am a robot. Whoa. That'd be much better.
You understand, Kevin, if they don't stop fighting, if they don't stop all wars on Earth, the aliens are just going to blow the planet up. It forces them to come together. It's pretty cool. That was a pretty revolutionary concept back then.
Sounds very dumb to me.
Kevin has spoken.
Sorry.
And Stella McCartney, daughter of legendary Beatle Paul McCartney, has a famous clothing designer. You know, she's got a big career.
Yes.
And, you know, she also doesn't care much for her former mother-in-law.
Sure.
Or stepmother, rather, Heather Mills.
Who does?
Yeah. Well, this is a great story. Stella's sticking it to Heather Mills a little bit.
Oh.
Apparently, she has got a brand new jewelry collection that she is releasing.
Mm-hmm.
And insiders report one of the items in that new jewelry collection is a single silver leg pendant that she'll be selling.
Come on.
A single silver leg that you can wear around your neck.
Wait a minute. Just one leg.
One leg.
Are you kidding me?
A pendant made of one leg.
Is that
made
a
of
joke?
Silver wearing around your neck. That's not a joke.
Are you? Sounds like a tabloid rumor is what it sounds like.
It is beautiful and true, and I love it.
That's
regardless
great.
Of whether it's true or not.
I will buy one if it will guarantee to make Heather Mills McCartney cry.
I do, too. I'd get two. That's say, fantastic. Look, I have two legs. You only have one. That's what I would do. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mike Nichols, legendary film director, stage director, actor, comedian. He is 76 years old today. Sally Field, actress. Is 61. Glenn Frey from the Eagles is 60 years old today. Ethan Hawke, talented actor, is 37. Rebecca Romijn, model and actress. Of course, you know her as the Blue Broad from X-Men.
The Blue Blue Broad, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she's going to be on Carpoolers tonight, co-starring her husband, Jerry O'Connell.
If it doesn't get canceled between now and then.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge hit.
And also a big celebrity birthday shout-out to our own Dwan. Dwan's birthday.
Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Dwan's birthday. Yeah.
So I did want to make sure that, well, he's asleep. He's not hearing this, but maybe someone will hear it and tell him later today that we wished him a happy birthday.
In and out. In and out. That one a hamburger. Don't want a
one more time.
Don't want a hamburger.
Bring it home.
All
about. Dwan.
Yay!
If somebody doesn't take him to In-N-Out Burger for his birthday today, then you don't know Dwan.
Yeah, just a candle on top of a double-double. That's all he wants.
That's right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What's up? This is Rob
and Joe
from Linkin Park.
What up? This is Mike Shinoda.
This is Chester from Linkin Park.
Those guys were good, man. We used to play them all the time here on K-Rock.
Remember those guys? Wow.
Oh, they were great.
It's a shame they broke up and died.
Oh, wait. Hold on. They're fine. And Mike Shinoda from the band, ladies and gentlemen, joins us in the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. And Mike, welcome to you. How are you?
That intro was intense, man.
Yeah.
That was crazy. It's like
you should do some songs people like.
If we stick around any longer, it's like we're going to just fill your whole morning with just a Linkin Park intro.
I know what I meant to ask you last time, Mike, and we have a lot of ground to cover with you because there's always a lot going on in the world of Linkin Park. But I don't think I remember to ask last time what you guys thought of the Josh Groban Ferret Face cover of My December that's on YouTube. Have you seen it and do you like it?
Well, let me just say, I'll say first, I can't say much about it, and I'll tell you why.
Wow.
My mom
loves
it. A huge Josh Groban fan. Like when he first, I think he came out on Oprah, right? Like that was one of his first big breaking.
He came out.
Well, I don't mean came out.
Oh.
I mean he like.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
But his career took off after an appearance on Oprah. I think you're right about it. It was part of the early publicity.
And
for him.
She saw my mom saw him on Oprah, and this was around the time I was getting married, and it was we kept suggesting like you should play Josh Groban at the wedding. You should get the first dancer. And I was like, you know what? This it started there, and ever since then I'm just like kind of hands off.
Just keep your mouth closed. About
so you don't want to offend your mom by saying something about it.
I don't want to say anything. I don't want to offend Josh either. Apparently he's a couple of our guys in our band actually have met him. He says he's a real nice guy.
He is, looks like a ferret. Mike.
He does look like a ferret, and we can say that without you having
What did you say about me?
Agree.
No, no, you're fine, but he looks like a ferret. Listen. we had some people on just by coincidence last week. We had an email from a Carrick listener who's a Grobanite. She's a self-professed Grobanite, and that's what they call their fans, I guess. And they're crazy, the stuff that these people do. I mean, they were taking pictures of birthday cakes for Josh Groban and posting them in internet chat rooms and stuff. It was just insane.
Took a picture with them and their birthday cake for Josh Groban and then put it up on some site where they worship him.
That's fantastic.
They sent us a picture of a 60-year-old lady with a big Josh Groban face tattoo.
That's right.
But what are the chances that we would find your mother on that site? Is your mother a Grobanite?
No.
Are you positive about that?
I will have to go.
Well, if you're a Linkin Park completist and you want to see Josh Groban singing My December, you got to go to YouTube and check it out. There aren't a lot of, or maybe I'm wrong. I should ask you, Mike. Are there a lot of covers of Linkin Park songs that other people have recorded?
Not that many. Well, not that many covers by people that you've heard of.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff on YouTube where, I mean, I think you guys have seen it before. Somebody takes a song and they kind of do something with it, and it's some kid in high school.
Make their own video or whatever.
They want to put something cool on YouTube for them and their friends. That's usually what you find.
You also can see Chester breaking his wrist on YouTube. That's good times.
That was falling
during a concert. How many songs were you into the show?
Well, that happened this month, in October.
Mm-hmm.
So last month.
The last month.
We were in Australia, and... we were only about a third of the way into our New Zealand Australian run. We were in Melbourne, and at this one point in the set, about four songs in,
mm-hmm.
he always climbs to the top of this drum riser thing, which is probably about 4 or 5 feet off the ground. So higher than your kitchen countertop.
Right.
And he jumps off of that thing and proceeds to.
Scream.
Well, usually he just runs around and screams and he's all excited and he's got all this adrenaline.
Right.
That night he hit the ground and I didn't see it. Phoenix was the one who really saw it. You can actually, if you look in the YouTube thing, you can see Phoenix kind of staring at him like, oh, that didn't look good. And Chester is writhing around more uncontrollably than usual from that point on. And he did do the rest of this. I mean, he broke his wrist, at that point when he hit the ground. And he, went backstage. He went about 2 songs, and then he went backstage and had to take a break for a second and look at it, try and put some ice on it. Nothing was working. He just decided, in his words, he said it's going to be more broken. It's going to be just as broken at the end of the show as it is now. So I'll just do the rest of the
set. He went back out and finished the show.
Yeah, he did another about hour's worth of material.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And what did it look like at the end of the show? Is it all just horribly swollen and disfigured?
It looked worse the next day. It was really bruised the next day. But you know what a broken hand looks like. I mean, he broke it right below his wrist on whatever the heck that top bone is called, your thumb.
Yeah.
And it's a real thin fracture, but it goes pretty much all the way through. And it was, his hand just swelled up and it was kind of bluish. It was gross.
Cool.
They put a cast on it afterwards?
They put the coolest effing cast I've ever seen in my life.
I didn't know there was a category for that.
Look, this thing.
How cool can a cast be?
It's not white. It's not plaster, first of all.
Okay.
It's like this crazy plastic material that's almost, it's barely bigger than his actual arm.
Oh.
And it's got like this little foamy stuff inside it. Velcros on. He can take it on and off. It's got all these tons of little perforations on it, so it doesn't really itch.
No kidding.
It's the future of...
Wow.
It's the modern cast, guys. The future is here.
I didn't see this coming this morning.
Chester and the Modern Cast, by the way. It's a new band.
I don't know if they're releasing them here in the States, but we've got a new Linkin Park TV episode. Oh, I guess it's probably coming out tomorrow. It'll be up
LP
on
TV.
Yeah, it's you go on YouTube, Linkin Park, search Linkin Park TV, and we have a channel, and all our video, all our YouTube stuff is up there, and we have a new one coming out this week that you'll see some good footage of the.
I'm glad your stuff is still up there because you go to YouTube these days, and about half of it, they don't take off the tees. They go, oh, yeah, I want to watch that. You click on it. Oh, this video's been removed.
Right.
Let me tell you, I'm so glad that we ended up on YouTube this YouTube conversation this morning because I almost forgot. You guys were the big fans or are big fans of the R. Kelly Trapped in the Closet.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the new song? Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Real Talk.
Oh, yeah. Real Talk is the best.
We've covered that.
He's crazy.
It's amazing.
You should do a duet
totally
with him.
Totally crazy. Chester and the Modern Cash should do a duet with him. All right, Mike Shinoda is here from the band Linkin Park. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, though, this is awesome. Let's face it. If there's one thing we know about Linkin Park, it's that they give back. I mean, you guys have raised millions of dollars for charities over the years, and you're doing something local for the Southern California wildfire victims. And it's very, very cool. You got a number of different things going on, including an eBay auction that involves, among other things, autographed Linkin Park stuff and tickets to K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas concert, which is the first time those words have been said on the radio this year. We'll tell you all about that and how you can get involved when we come back with Mike Shinoda after this on K-Rock.
Wait, this is my favorite part.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. That's good.
Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 28 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park got up early and came into our studios today.
Hi.
and the reason is to spread the word with the K-Rock listeners that you and your band, Mike, are teaming up with Unite the United for an eBay auction that just went up yesterday where you are offering autographed items for what purpose? What's the deal here?
Well, when we saw the footage, we were just saying, you know, I was in Australia last month, and that's when, you know, the wildfires all started, and we saw, you know, it's just so hard to look at the stuff on the news that you know is going on at home, and you couldn't be further away. We're literally on the opposite side of the planet, so you know, it really bothered us. And when we came back, we wanted to do something. We teamed up with Unite the United, which is actually. A lot of people would be more familiar with the people that founded that organization. It's the guys and the men and women who do Vans Warped Tour and Rockstar Taste of Chaos.
Oh, sure.
So, they started that foundation. We started Music for Relief. And the two, you know, Music for Relief and Unite the United are getting together to do this, among other things, to do this auction.
I'm looking through the items in the auction. There's Linkin Park Custom Xbox 360 signed by the entire band. Mm-hmm. Taking Back Sunday stuff, Eagles signed limited edition box set, Aerosmith drum head.
We've got some great stuff and some stuff that, like, I mean, we've got Green Day, we got Madonna. Here, I wrote down some of the names.
Okay.
Green Day, and this stuff is all random. Maybe this is something like a signed poster, signed picture, but Green Day, Madonna, Eagles, Joan Jett, Slayer, Smashing Pumpkins, even Chicago and Aerosmith. You know, threw some stuff out. Red Hot Chili Peppers, My Chemical Romance, you know, The Used, Taking Back Sunday, good friends of ours. And just, you know, we're really happy to have all this cool stuff on there. But there's some really big, those things are more of what you probably would expect in an auction. And if you're fans of those groups, those bands, definitely go check it out. Like we were saying, it just went up yesterday. So this stuff is all still up, you know, just getting up there. It's only we got so much stuff. We had to split it up between basically two auctions.
Nice.
The first one went up yesterday and the second one, the rest of it is coming up on Thursday.
And you can go, you can find it on eBay. We also put the link on the Kevin and Bean front page at krock.com. And, there's two VIP K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 tickets for the first show. And then two for the second show. And we haven't really announced anything about that yet, but I can leak some of the bands that are going to be playing. Bobbing for Gonads is playing.
Oh, you're not allowed to,
Fire
share
Hose
that.
Of Vomit.
No, you can't say that. Kevin.
And Clan Frontation is also playing.
Okay. Along We're not with, actually allowed to mention the names of the bands.
Along with Pete Doherty's Cat. So that's the second night. So you might enjoy that.
So you're telling me that before we've even announced the show here on K-Rock, you can already bid on VIP tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows?
Yes.
On eBay for a good cause?
Yes. You don't know who's playing, but you can bid on it. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, they pretty much never suck, so.
That's true.
It's a safe,
we do throw
safe
a lot
bid.
Of bands at it to make sure that if you don't like whatever band's on, just give it 20 minutes. You'll be fine.
And by the way, if there's any Hey There Vagina fans out there, please somebody go and bid on their item, because it'd be really sad if they're the only one that doesn't get bid on. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Plain white tees are up there. I mean, Chicago is getting more money than the plain white tees right now, and that's just sad.
You know, just to mention one other thing that, you know, we're putting the tickets for Acoustic Christmas up there before their announcement. We're also putting a Linkin Park show. It's a flyaway show to see us at Madison Square Garden. We haven't announced the Madison Square Garden show, but it will be, you know, whenever it is, you get flown out, you and a guest, and it's airfare and hotel and premium tickets and VIP. It's the whole everything we could do for somebody.
How do you guys stay so focused on this kind of stuff, on charity stuff?
Oh, we've got just like so many people that do everything for us, and we just really don't do anything. I literally, like we were saying earlier,
you're getting your nails done.
Yeah, I just sit at home and play Xbox all day, and all these other people kind of just do it.
It does seem like you're traveling the world. You got your shows to worry about, all this other kind of stuff. It does seem like you would be distracted from local charities.
I think maybe we kind of have, I don't know. I was going to say short attention span, but that's not true either. We just kind of, you know, I tend to get very excited about things when they, you know, when something comes up and it's something as cool as this, something that we know we could really make a difference and do something great, and we can get other people involved that otherwise, you know, let's say, you know, Red Cross, when we first started Music for Relief, Red Cross couldn't have necessarily gotten in contact with these other people that we could have gotten in contact very easily. So when we know that, like, we just happen to have the connections or have the friends who will do stuff and make a difference, then we just kind of get involved and try and do it.
Do you call Madonna personally and just say, "Hey, Madonna,
needs some." She was with Warner for a long time. She just left Warner, apparently. So she was, I think that was a Warner.
I got you.
Connection.
They helped you out. But I think it's to your credit, Mike, and I know you're being modest here, but I mean, from the very beginning of the band, you guys have always taken a portion of your time and a portion of your profits and given back. And I just think that's very commendable. You deserve to be committed for that.
Thank you.
It started with the tsunami,
You guys have raised over $2 million for tsunami and Katrina and Rita relief. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's remarkable.
Thank you. Yeah, we did, as you guys remember, we did a few things when the tsunami hit Asia. And we had one thing in particular here in L.A. We had that big concert. That was really great. That was the majority of that money that we donated there. But Music for Relief, our organization, started then. And since then, we realized it was really weird. Like, when we were in the studio last year working on Minutes to Midnight, we were in the studio working on our record.
Third or fourth year into it.
I know. right. But some Music for Relief stuff, you know, came up, and we were talking about New Orleans and what we were focusing on. It seemed like every time, you know, if there was a disaster, things had gone wrong, we're always focusing on the kind of cleanup, the relief efforts on the back end. And so we actually have changed a lot of the – we have added to the Music for Relief I want to say our philosophy,
right,
that we're going to try and do things that are preventative as well. So, like, you know, for our summer tour, Project Revolution, we donated $1 from, we basically planted a tree for every ticket that was sold. So we donated $1 from every ticket, and that planted a tree. We also ran the majority of the buses and trucks on biodiesel, just trying to do things, you know, on the front end as well, so we hopefully don't have to clean up as much.
And I'll tell you something else, which is commendable. My wife took a charity trip to New Orleans, and these guys went, and she called me one day, and she's like, "You'll never believe this, but Mike and Chester and all the guys, they're picking up boxes and they're doing all the hard work, and it doesn't seem like they should be doing that, but it's pretty cool." and I've seen the video, and you guys just blend right in. You're just out there working your asses off.
That's not how I'd do it, I'll tell you that, if I were in Linkin Park.
I know, it's funny, too, because it's such a weird, like, dynamic that goes on. Like, Chester's out there. The water was still, you know, there's a lot of stagnant water around there at that point in time. About was that a year ago now?
I think so, yeah. It was a year after Katrina, whenever it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was even longer. It was like he's out there. We had this truck coming to deliver lunch, which I think was pizza or something, and it got stuck in a ditch because the water was so – do you remember hearing about the story?
I saw the video of it, yeah.
There's water down the street, and so you can't see the actual road. You just see dirty water is the street, and the guy's driving his little pizza van down it, and he hits a pothole, which he couldn't see, and his van gets stuck. Next thing you know, the guys are out there trying to, you know, help him out, put a board under his wheel, and push the truck out. And Chester's in there with, like, God knows how expensive Prada boots.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't even know why the guy's wearing these expensive boots around to do his work like this. But, yeah. you know, that was he did make sure to, like, mention that one.
Yeah.
He, like, to complain about that one. He's like, okay, I don't know why I wore these boots today. I just ruined them.
Well, you got to look good.
The back tires did spin out, and he did get covered with.
It was amazing. It was like a
ugly water.
Yeah, it was amazing. Actually,
that's awesome.
But that's commendable. That's commendable that you guys do that. Again, you can go to ebay.com/CA Wildfires, or you can go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and the front page there. We have the link, and you can go to bid on some of these items.
Great.
Yeah, bid on the Acoustic Christmas tickets, the Taste of Chaos tickets, the Linkin Park autograph stuff, and a lot of those other artists that we mentioned. Mike, always great to catch up with you, man. Have fun in Asia, and we'll see you again soon, all right?
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Who's got more money than they can count? Paramount.
No, that is, that's not the chant you want out in front of the Paramount Studios.
Not
you're right about that.
One, no.
Ralph, give me a 30-second synopsis for K-Rock listeners who maybe don't pay attention to the Hollywood news that you do about what's going on with this writer's strike.
All right. There's people who make movies and TV shows, right, who make an ass full of money.
Right.
And then there's people who write TVs and movie shows
mm-hmm.
who think that maybe they should get a larger percentage of all of the money that people are
That's
making.
That's outrageous.
Because they tend to be the ones who create the stuff that you see on television and in the movie theaters. So they went to the producer and said, look, our contract with you is up. We'd like to renegotiate for a little bit money for more money for the per DVDs. And also all this new technology that's coming out, all the internet downloads of episodes of TV shows that you're making money off of with the advertising that you put on your sites and cell phones, you know, and iPods. There's all this new technology. We'd like to make sure that our asses are covered in that arena before we sign any deal and go back into a long-term deal with you. And the producer said, oh, we don't have any money. What are you talking about? We don't have any money.
They're all poor?
So these are two powerful entities in the entertainment industry who are far apart when it comes to having an agreement about who should get how much
money. And we're affected by the nighttime talk shows already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, already.
Already in reruns because they got no writers, right? You can't make a TV show or a movie without both of these people, the people who make it and you know and fund it and the people who write it. So we thought, we got a guy who we happen to know, a guy who's you know on the K-Rock staff, that we can go to who's got experience on all avenues. He's a director. He's a writer. He's an actor. He's been there. He knows what he's talking about. He's also the decider on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Smith joins us here on K-Rock.
Good morning. I got a job for all those out-of-work writers, people
yes.
who are striking so they don't have to cross the picket lines.
Right.
Of course they won't because it's a solidarity, a union of sorts.
Right.
I have 2,600 friend requests on Facebook that I need somebody to approve, and I will give them a dime a person if they will just do this for me. Man.
That's a good idea.
It's better than they're getting per DVD right now. That's a good deal.
Totally. There's a better percentage there.
Now, Kevin, I haven't been paying a tremendous amount of attention to this, but it's
no.
But it seems to me, just from what I've heard, that it's way one-sided. It doesn't seem like the writers are asking for that much, and
are we missing
something? Am I missing something?
I was just reading, there was a post on a website, one of the Writers Guild websites, by a writer who had worked for the SpongeBob SquarePants show for a while.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, SpongeBob is huge and has generated $12 billion in revenue or something like that, the dude was saying,
right.
or claiming. He was saying that early on, like, you know, animators are not part of the people who write for animation are not part of the Writers Guild. They're exempt for some reason.
Okay.
If you write for animated films, or if you write for cartoons, or if you write for reality TV, for some reason you're not part of the Writers Guild. So these dudes a couple of years back were like, look, we want to be brought into the Writers Guild and we want the studio to sponsor it. And apparently the studio just kind of not only shut their efforts down because they were worried about having to give up revenue on the back end, they blacklisted this poor dude, and he couldn't get a job in any of the other animation companies. I wish I could remember his name, but it's you can read about it somewhere online. And the dude said, like, at the end of the day, it would have meant an additional $2,000 a year. Now, he's like, even if you paid the entire staff, that would have been an additional $48,000 a year versus the $12 billion in revenue.
Right.
I think they're just – I think the studios seem to be worried about you know, the music model. For example, music labels are kind of became unhinged when music started being sold digitally on stuff like iTunes and whatnot.
Right.
And it changed the way we listen to music.
Right.
Now people don't go to a CD store. CD stores are closing up left and right. They just go to iTunes and cherry pick their tunes if they don't want to buy a whole album.
Right.
And I think the studios are terrified that eventually that's what's going to happen with movies. People aren't going to want to buy DVDs when they could just kind of sit at home and download it or something like that, off an iTunes or something similar. And if that becomes the wave of the future where everyone's buying their movies digitally, they don't want to give up that revenue.
Okay,
they want to keep it themselves.
But this is – oh, I see. But so there, so some of their regular revenue would go away, but they would get an additional little amount from the Internet or whatever.
It
and the writers down, are saying, how about us on the Internet, right?
Yes, and it comes down to the argument of, like, if you write something, every time that work is exploited for money, shouldn't you receive some sort of compensation? If you – say you write for a TV show like Friends – when it first aired, that first episode you wrote aired, you get paid before to, you know, to write it.
Right.
Then when it gets aired, you get residuals. Then every time subsequently it airs, no matter where in the world, you get a smaller residual as it goes along.
Right.
If those episodes are then thrown up online, say on a free site, you know, where you can watch it for nothing or something like that, there's no kickback right now for the writers. There is no residual. Like, for example, currently you can watch first run repeats of The Office on the NBC site,
right?
You know, the week that it after the day after it airs, I believe it goes up on the site. I think the writers in that instance are like, look, that's being watched over and over again, and we're not getting a piece of that whatsoever. And I created that work. Without me, that episode doesn't exist.
Right.
And don't those producers get some money because they run little ads?
Yeah,
that's the stuff that's online.
There's revenue generated by the NBC site because, you know, number one, they're advertising themselves. Number two, who knows what else they're advertising on that site if there's click-throughs to larger or other companies or revenue or commercial companies or something like that. So there's always, you know, there's a zillion ways to monetize entertainment. And historically, they've always tried to screw over the writer by being like, you did your job, you're done. You know, because it's always what's up front that's kind of more glamorous. Like, who's in it? That's what sells it, not who wrote it. But the guy who's in it has nothing to say unless somebody wrote it for him.
See, that's the thing that I think cheeses off a lot of writers, and rightly so, is that the actors get a sweeter deal. I mean, they do their work on a movie or a television show, and they get their monies that come to them from residuals or from sales of DVDs, and the directors have the same deals, and the producers certainly do. And the writer does seem to be the low man on the totem pole.
Absolutely, but we live in not just a culture, but a world in which it's flash over substance. It's always the superficial that kind of wins out at the end of the day rather than the substantive. I mean, the person that writes something is never going to be as well known as the person who's performing what's written.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, of course they want to... You know, you have a movie, what was the number one movie this week?
American Gangster.
Did anybody go because the guy that wrote American Gangster, they're massive fans of? I'm sure a very small portion, but most people went because they're like, I like Denzel Washington, I like Russell Crowe.
Right.
And the studios would rather reward those people than the people that actually create the material. But if you lose the writers, man, who's creating that material?
Okay.
Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington are standing around looking at each other with nothing to say.
Well, if you were, I know you're not, but if you were representing the other side, what is their argument? What are they saying?
I can't see that there is one. I think basically they're just kind of covering their asses in the eventuality that the model, financial model, changes completely. Like when home video kind of came to the fore, that changed revenue streams in filmmaking, and suddenly there was a whole new avenue in which money was being made, and they hadn't thought about that, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 100 years ago when the movie business began.
Right.
There was no way to predict that kind of thing. With the advent of digital entertainment in terms of downloading, even right now, you know, you can download movies at iTunes. Who knows where it goes from here? Who knows if one day the green lobby kind of says, look, we're getting rid of plastic altogether, so you can't, you know, sell a DVD case or a DVD in a case or something like that, or the materials that make a DVD. Or everyone's just like, a bomb goes off and then the world has changed forever. Nobody wants to leave their houses, but they could still download entertainment. I'm sure that's not the first thing they're thinking about.
No, but
they're probably thinking about, like, I don't want to be eaten by the living dead.
By the zombies.
That's first.
But if you secure your house from the living dead, you're going to want to watch an episode of Sanford and Son.
Right.
So how are you going to do that? You can't go out of the house to do it. You risk your life. You're going to be downloading and watching it. So I guess everyone's thinking about this possible future where everything's on demand, one click away, and you can kind of, you know, call it right to your computer or even to your television set or, you know. So,
or your phone, right.
Yeah, but regardless of where that money stream is coming from, Kevin, the writers, I think, have legitimate bitch when they say we should get a percentage, whatever a fair percentage
is. Dude, I'm a writer.
I know you are. I'm just saying, you know, for the people who are not familiar with the argument, I don't see how the producers have a leg to stand on when they say that you shouldn't get a certain amount of money because the revenue may be changing in the industry.
Yeah, it's kind of heinous when you think about it. I mean, here's the honest truth, though. At the end of the day, and this is not a good thing to say because I am part of the guild and it should be all solidary, I don't really care at the end of the day. If they want, for me, I've always worked, this is personal, and I'm not speaking for the Writers Guild or other writers, but I've got a real Uncle Tom ethic when it comes to work, where I'm like, you know, I don't think I'm worthy enough to have a career, so I'm like, hey, man, if they make any penny they make off me means that they're going to give me a job again later in the future. So I don't care if they want to keep my that $2,000, $4,000, $10,000 additional dollars or something like that, because to me it always generates goodwill. And like I said, maybe that makes me something of an Uncle Tom, where I'm like, you know, it's all good, boss. As long as you earn enough me, it's all good. But, I'm not saying, like, this strike shouldn't happen because we should all be good, quiet little writers. Just a personal thing. But as a writer, as part of a guild, as part of a union, of course, you know, I support the union. I get what they're saying because I'm in a pretty good position. I make a pretty good living, right, depending on what I need and whatnot.
You have a bunch of
expensive cars and stuff. But if I was one of these writers that's like living hand to mouth and whatnot, that's who it benefits more. And so, of course, I support those dudes. When you're part of a union, you know, it's like everybody's working
sure.
out.
Yeah,
everybody's
people always say that. Some of those writers, you know, don't even have a comic book store to fall back on. Let's face it.
Exactly.
Neither does Kevin, by the way.
He's got New Jersey. Store, which, remember I was telling you last time we were closing it? Is opening again. We're opening it over at, you know, Laser Blazer on Pico?
Store.
We're opening it in Laser Blazer. So I don't care about the strike because I'm selling comic books over at Laser Blazer.
All right, Kevin, haven't you been affected, though, by the strike with regards to Heroes Origins?
Yeah, Heroes Origins. NBC pulled the plug on Heroes Origins because, and don't quote me on this figure, but I was told that it was going to, you know, it's a project, 6 episodes, that was going to cost them additional $30 million. And with the writers, they're kind of pissed at what's going on with the writers and whatnot, so they kind of pulled the plug. And they didn't kill it completely. It could happen next season or something like that, but for now, they're just saying, like, forget it. We're gonna put it on the shelf. So
that's a drag.
I was kind of affected by that. But to be honest, again, I wasn't as adversely affected by it because basically I was going to have to wrap Zach and Miri Make a Porno in Pittsburgh on March 15th and immediately fly home and start shooting Heroes like the next day.
Right, and you don't have time to sit there and be on YouTube all day like you like.
That's what I plan to do all throughout Zach and Miri, sir. I mean, you know, that movie will direct itself. I'm going to be online approving Facebook and MySpace and watching.
Someone's got to play online poker, man.
That's right.
Exactly. How am I supposed to get any Full Tilt losing going on if I'm making a movie?
Let me ask one more question because we're out of time. And this is, of course, our friend, director, writer Kevin Smith on the line. It's so frustrating anytime you see a labor dispute. It doesn't matter what the industry, if it's a sports strike or it's a TV strike, whatever it is, when the sides aren't even talking anymore, when they don't even have another meeting scheduled, because, you know, eventually there is going to be a compromise. Something is going to be worked out and eventually everything will start rolling again. What's your prediction on how long this will take based on what you hear from other writers in the guild? And how do you think this will end up being resolved, Kevin?
I mean, it only resolves itself in one way, with the studio kind of coming to its senses and saying, look, all right, we'll break you off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. And hopefully that kind of happens sooner rather than later. We got Christmas coming. You don't want a lot of people out of work, because it's not just the writers who are out of work. You know, a show shuts down, the guy rigging the lights is out of work.
Yep.
You know, the guy parking your car is out of work. The guy who flushes, you know, cleans the toilet is out of work because the toilets ain't dirty anymore. So it affects everybody. You know, I think they predicted something like, you know, $100-200 million worth of damage to the city of Los Angeles, not you know, physical damage, but like financial loss to the city if the shutdown goes on for as long as it went on, you know, in the last strike, which was, what, 1986, 88 or something like that?
That was, what, about 5 months maybe?
Yeah, it was a long time. So hopefully everyone on the side of the righteous holds to the cause, and hopefully the folks with the purse strings kind of loosen them up a little bit and concede very quickly, because I got nothing to watch at 11:30.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So strange. You're going into reruns and whatnot.
All right. Well, Kevin, we always appreciate your opinion. I don't know if you made any friends among your fellow Writers Guild members as a result of your lukewarm stance.
I totally support the cause. Just me personally, you know, that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter to me yet. But you know what? It'll matter to me in like 20 years or not even that. 2 years and nobody cares about me anymore. But I got my backup plan. That's when I start selling autographs at a comic book convention for $20.
There you go.
Yes, you did.
You'll be next to Lou Ferrigno and Dirk.
I cannot wait to join Colonel Steve Austin, TV's Incredible Hulk, and Buck Rogers.
That's right.
Selling my signature.
Tell Gil Gerard we said hi when you see him.
I absolutely will.
Thanks, Kevin.
Bye,
see you later.
Bye.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
America Ferrera from Ugly Betty.
Yeah.
Is better than us.
Yeah.
She of course, stars in a hit TV show full time. She films that. But did you know at the same time she's also attending USC?
No.
She is one semester away from a bachelor's degree in international relations.
Wow.
She's been attending school the whole time she's been filming her show full time.
All right. Well, sometimes the ugly girls need something to fall back on, Ralph, if they can't rely on their looks.
She's ugly and smart.
Yeah.
She's got it all.
She's really not ugly.
No.
Yeah, it's not hot either.
I've seen the show.
There's an in-between.
It's not hot either.
No, but it's not ugly.
It's not hot.
Right.
It's not
right.
Ugly.
Yeah, well, it sounds like we let the decider hang up too early.
She's not hot, but I bet David Copperfield wouldn't rape her.
Hey!
That's what I'm saying. Oh.
Is that the line?
That's the line. He only likes to rape the good-looking ones.
Sure.
TMZ.com has obtained documents from David Copperfield's shows that outline in detail how the magician's employees are supposed to rope in the women that Dave finds attractive in the audience. Apparently, there's a document called Show Participation, which requires the people who work at David's shows to arm themselves with clipboards, a Polaroid camera, a digital camera, brochures of David's island home in the Bahamas. And it also has instructions on how to keep the boyfriends and husbands of these women at bay, away from David while he's talking to them backstage.
Wow.
It says, actually, in the article, from time to time, boyfriends and husbands will give us a hard time and refuse to stay away. If that is the case, try your best to get them to stay and refer to the What to Say sheet for help. He's actually written out things you can say to get them to not be near their girlfriends and wives.
This is like a script for a telemarketer figuring out how to close a deal. He's got props. He's got staff. It's unbelievable.
More than you know. There is a script written out for them. Things they're supposed to talk to the women about before David arrives backstage. Here's the script. Do you know that David has recently bought some islands in the Bahamas? Well, they are beautiful. And we're doing a lot of projects for these islands. Ads, TV, radio, and many other promotions. So we'd like to keep in touch with you in case there's a job in the future we think you'd be interested in. And then they cough up their phone numbers, and then this way Copperfield's got access to them when it comes time for the raping.
Allegedly, right. This goes way beyond having a wingman. I mean, this is having just a full-on advance team.
He's got a squadron.
He does.
Yeah. He doesn't have a wingman. He's got
a wing squadron.
He's got it's all the Top Gun guys all at the same time. It's Maverick and Carner and all of them. They're all flying alongside.
It's a little scary.
Don't you guys have a feeling that this case is going to go away, that somehow a large check is going to be written and we'll never hear about this again?
You know what? I would say that ordinarily, but when the FBI gets involved,
yeah,
they're a little pit bullish when it comes to this kind of stuff. They don't shake easy. They really like to see these things through to the conclusion.
If he's guilty, I hope they get him, but I just have a feeling he's rich enough that he can get away with it.
So you're in favor of the rich rape?
No, I'm saying the opposite of that.
You would like to see the rich rape more?
No.
I think they have the right to rape.
I didn't say that at all.
That's what he said. It's fine, Bean. It's okay.
That's what I heard.
Look, everyone's got entitled to their opinion, and if you're pro-rape, then that's your position.
It's just a vagina.
Shut up, Tyra.
We're talking about the strike, of course, just moments ago with Kevin Smith. J.J. Abrams. Who is responsible, of course, for Alias and Mission Impossible 3, and is currently working on the Star Trek movie, the prequel, that talks about when Kirk first met Spock. He has announced that he will honor his contractual obligation to work as a director on the film, but he will also be serving some time in the picket lines outside of Paramount Studios where he is filming the film. Writers in front of Paramount are currently chanting things like, who's got more money than they can count? Paramount.
They're not chanting that, though.
They are chanting that.
That's not even trying.
It's horrible.
It's bad writing.
They should give some money back to Paramount if that's what they're saying in front of it. Horrible.
Paramount should use that in the negotiations.
Yes. You can't write. Here's your chance.
What about this chance?
James L. Brooks, Tina Fey, and the writers of Lost have also been seen in the picket lines as of yesterday, so a lot of high-profile writers and stars are lending their support to the cause.
Not Kevin Smith, though. He only supports them theoretically.
That is just not so. He's just saying, look, he makes a lot of money. He doesn't have to worry about it so much.
Yeah.
But he did make a point of saying it's the guys in the trenches who are, you know, working episode to episode.
Sure.
Now, those are the guys who need the extra couple grand a year and the medical insurance and all that kind of good stuff. You want to see American Gladiators? Yeah.
Yeah,
I know you do. Oh, it's going to be so good. They start shooting the brand new episodes of American Gladiators on November the 28th. It's going to be nuts. Damn.
How can you be that excited
about
this show?
Come on, Gladiators rules.
All right.
I've been watching the UK version. They have a new UK version.
Yeah.
The British version is up on YouTube. You can see episodes that. I'm trying to put your enthusiasm into
proper perspective here. You're more or less excited about Gladiators than you were about the G.I. Joe movie a couple days ago.
Well, that's still far way off. I mean, this is right in front of me. This is the carrot that's dangling right now. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Carrots dangling. You know what I'm saying?
No.
If you want to go see American Gladiators being filmed live at the Gladiator Arena, go to AmericanGladiatorsTickets.com. AmericanGladiatorsTickets.com. And you just fill out that application there and you get in. You get to see the American Gladiators. It's very exciting. People don't understand how cool it is. That's your problem.
Not that cool.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Doesn't need writers.
That's right. American, what?
Hmm?
Mike Nichols, director of The Graduate and The Birdcage and many, many other feature films. He is 76 years old today. Glenn Frey, singer for the Eagles, is 60 years old. Sally Field, actress.
On Brothers and Sisters.
Stop saying
that. She has brothers ABC. And sisters, but that's not the point. We're talking about the fact that she can't get a job, Lisa.
She's 61 years unemployed. Old today. Ethan Hawke is 37. Rebecca Romaine.
On Carpoolers tonight.
Is 35 years old. Thandie Newton.
Yeah.
Is 35 years old today.
Don't make fun
well.
Of her lisp.
What's her name? T.H.
She was in Crash.
Oh, dear God. All of you, stop. And Dwan, our very own Dwan celebrates.
Yes.
Yeah. There we go.
That's what I'm talking about.
See Dwan around, buy him a double-double and some extra crispy fries and a shake.
Oh, that's tight.
He loves him some In-N-Out.
Yes, he does.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time for your phone calls.
Sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. As always, that's the number to get on the air. And today, here's what you get. A limited edition wristwatch from Troy Lee Designs, along with a pair of all-access passes to the Troy Lee Designs Supermoto Mayhem at Morongo Casino. Don't you know it's the final event of the 2007 AMA Supermoto Series? Call 888-MORONGO and mention Supermoto Mayhem to get your tickets. The event is this weekend.
Now, let's start with Jay in Riverside. Good morning, Jay. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What it do? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Jay?
What's going on?
All right. Check this out. So have you guys heard about Joe Torre getting signed to the Dodgers?
No.
What?
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 Why isn't that on the news? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we've heard of it.
Of course. Everyone's heard of it. But, hey, you know what? I think that Dodgers are going to be a threat now, like a real threat, because Joe Torre, he took the Yankees to, 6 World Series?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, personally.
Okay.
Yeah.
You understand. Dan, that even Joe hasn't been to the World Series in a few years, right? I mean, and that's with the Yankees.
Yeah, but, hey, you know, everyone hates on the Yankees, and everyone says that the Yankees buy the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they might get good players, but, you know, yeah, they do pay them a lot of money, but I don't think they play as a team personally. You know, it's every all-star out there, but...
No. Okay, I'm not. You're rambling now. Look,
Joe Torre has it in this
call. Here's the thing. The baseball is over.
Yeah.
And we don't really need to talk about it for a while.
A lot of Dodger fans very excited about Joe Torre. That's good.
Yeah. Let's Fantastic. See what he does with it.
Let's see what
happens. Talk about it again come spring training.
But I think he's going to need some players on the field in order to have something to work with.
No.
You can be a great manager if you don't have any talent. You can't do much with it. That's all.
Frank and Hacienda Heights. Good morning.
What do you do, nephew?
What do you
do? Hi, Frank.
Hey, I don't know if you guys heard, but last night I was searching the net, and I was looking at YouTube, and I was looking up songs played backwards, and there's a lot of songs out there that if you play them backwards, they have satanic messages, you know, evil messages. Some of them are just part of the song, but I'm a big Linkin Park fan, and I think it was the song Faint. If you play it backwards, it actually tells you to obey them, and I think it actually worked with me.
Because you obey Linkin Park now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
But, yeah, it's a real trip.
How exactly do you go about obeying Linkin Park? What are you doing now differently?
Well, I was in the Navy, and, you know, I used to work on the flight deck. And, you know, I used to tell the captain's ship to go ahead and request Linkin Park songs to be played on the flight deck. And, you know, it worked. You know, I'm actually thinking about getting a Linkin Park tattoo, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, but, okay.
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 All right, good folks.
You sure obey them.
You hold on.
We've been hearing about backwards lyrics for 40 years, and the truth is that in English, there are a lot of words that you can turn around and make them backwards, and they're going to sound like other words. Yeah. It really is kind of inevitable, and it's kind of impossible to not have that happen from time to time.
But Paul McCartney is a dead man. Miss him.
He is dead.
That's correct, yeah.
All right, let's go to Clara in Burbank. Good morning, Clara.
What it do?
What it do?
I'm talking about Tila Tequila on Loveline last night.
Trying what? To tell
sexy stories about her lesbian experiences, telling them all slow and saying that when she was 5, she got down with a 7-year-old and how hot it was.
That's hot.
What?
Nothing hotter than a 5 and a 7-year-old.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. She was having sexual encounters at 5?
I'd love to get a copy of that.
All right. Easy,
okay, that's
easy.
That's not important.
Well, that's not possible.
He was like, which one of you was sexually molested by an adult?
Oh, sure. That's Drew's fallback question.
Of course.
Yeah. And that isn't hot, by the way.
No.
Drew has to be right at that point.
That's not hot.
Yeah.
She's lying.
6 and 8. Now we were talking. You know what I'm saying? Sure. The 5 and 7 is just not hot.
Ralph, I saw a little bit of shot of Love. I was watching TRL yesterday because Crazy Tom Cruise was on, and I wanted to see if there was any meltdown happening. But they had Tila Tequila on after that, and I had not watched the show. I listened to LaQuisha's reviews, but I had not actually seen it with my own eyes. You can't believe it's a real reality show. It looks just like your old Joe Schmo show that you were making fun of reality dating shows.
I said after I watched it that we couldn't do the Joe Schmo show today because reality television has surpassed what we thought we were doing for comic effect. Yeah. They're doing with a straight face.
You're trying to parody it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You cannot parody it anymore.
This was the episode where they had all these girls in string bikinis who were out on some sort of a floaty doing push-ups in the middle of the pool. That was the competition or something. It didn't make any sense. Yeah.
The guys had to wear high-heeled shoes and strut down the red carpet, and then the girls had to do push-ups to show their manly side to the men's feminine side.
They're really looking for true love,
That's
people.
How you find love,
That's how
Kevin.
You
know it.
That is
push-ups.
True. That's
didn't
true.
You have your wife do push-ups before you married?
And I wore high heels.
That's right.
Eddie and Torrance, good morning.
Yo.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hi,
hey, we're good. How are you?
Not so good. I don't understand why you have to down Italians, bro, on your show.
Italians? What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Chris Angel. You sit around and you down him, you know, you talk bad about the Italian magician.
Hey, buddy.
Can you elevate like that?
Buddy, he's Greek.
No, he's
from
not
New
Greek.
Jersey.
No, he's not Greek.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
His last name is Sarantakos.
No. Sir, you just listen up to me, okay?
Okay.
I don't appreciate it.
Straighten this out.
Appreciates it, and he might make you one someday to disappear, huh? Him and his entourage. You schmuck, Irish prick.
Okay, but I think what Ralph is saying is he's not Italian.
That guy had to be kidding, right?
But listen, if we
he sounded
make
very
one,
angry.
If we make fun of one Italian, we are making fun of all Italians.
That's true. And
that
by
is
the
a good
way,
point.
Sarantakos is
Italian.
Not an Italian last name.
That guy was kidding.
Shut
right?
up, you Irish bastard.
I am an Irish prick, don't get me wrong. But I still believe Chris Angel is Greek. By
he hung
descent.
Up. He doesn't want his. That guy, or anything. He just wanted
I don't think he was kidding. I think he was serious.
I don't think he was kidding. I think he was
serious.
Are you kidding?
He sounded drunk and angry like most Italians.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you know how they are. They're bad people.
Yes, they drink a lot of red Dago red wine. And they're all in the mob and they're all drunk and angry.
That's true.
Who wants to talk to the birthday boy before
yeah.
we go?
Yeah! Oh! Hey, Dewan.
What's up, Kevin and Bang?
Happy birthday, dude.
Dewan.
Thank you. I'm 25 years old.
Yes, congratulations. A quarter of a century, Dewan.
Thanks.
Now, what are your plans today? You mentioned a couple days ago maybe your mom was going to take you out, maybe your friends. What'd you come up with?
My mom's going to take me out for dinner tonight.
Okay. Where are you going to go, okay. you know?
Yeah.
Where?
Where is she going to take you?
I don't have no idea.
Mm. You know,
not In-N-Out Burger, though?
In-N-Out Burger would sound good right about now, wouldn't it?
Nope.
Nope.
No. Okay. Okay. Doesn't sound good. Thought it would. Based on everything we know.
Unless there's a Drew Barrymore theme restaurant, I was guessing In-N-Out.
Now, what are you hoping to get for your birthday, Dewan?
I think I'm going to get a gift card from In-N-Out.
A gift card from In-N-Out?
I thought you didn't like In-N-Out anymore.
Yeah,
we must. I think we misunderstood the one because we asked if your mom was going to take you to In-N-Out for your birthday, and you said no. Nope.
You rejected that outright.
Okay, happy birthday.
Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Hey, Dewan, let me ask you one question before you go. Now that you're 25, you're old enough that you could start thinking critically about your life. What do you look back on as the best thing that ever happened to you, Dewan, at 25?
I'm getting older.
Yeah, that's the best thing, getting older.
Right. But is there one event that stands out in your life that you look back and go, man, that was the best time ever?
Yeah.
And what would that moment be?
What is that moment that you look back on and say that was the best time ever?
I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
All right. All right.
There's so happy many birthday, Dewan.
So many to choose from.
Happy birthday, my friend.
We love you, man.
Love you too.
Happy birthday.
Okay, bye, Lijuan. Yeah. Oh, that was the best. I so want him to come live with me. Well, live out in the barn, but live on my property.
Oh,
I so,
stop be so wrong with you.
I want to thank all of our many, many guests on the program today, including Mike Shinoda from the band Linkin Park. You can go to ebay.com/CAWildfires or just go to krock.com in the link section of the Kevin and Bean page, and you'll find out how to bid on lots of Music for Relief items to raise money to help those who lost in the California wildfires. Also, thanks to director-writer Kevin Smith for joining us with his take on the writer's strike. And how about Borat Sagdiyev, who joined us from the great nation of Kazakhstan?
His last name's impossible.
As he's signing his new book, that'll be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at The Borders, 1360 Westwood Boulevard in Los Angeles. Ladies, come on out for some sexy time.
I don't think you treated an Italian author like Borat with his proper respect.
That's true.
I think when you talk to an Italian-American like Borat, you really need to treat him better.
That guy was kidding.
He was not kidding.
I don't think he was.
I don't believe it.
By the way, if he is listening, Super Whore, Alex brought up the bio page on Criss Angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Christopher Nicholas Sarantakos was born December 19, 1967, mm-hmm. raised in East Meadow, New York, is mm-hmm. of Greek descent. His mother is from Maestra, Greece,
right.
And his father is Greek as well. So no Italian at all in that lineage.
None whatsoever.
He was kidding. Wow.
He was not kidding.
He was kidding. There's no way he was serious.
What made you think he was kidding, Kevin?
The fact that no one could say those words because they're too ridiculous.
What if he makes me disappear?
Tomorrow, that would be great. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, Jonathan Davis will be here. He will be performing live.
What's that going to sound like, Kevin?
Here's a little Jonathan Davis, Kevin.
Kevin has added a voice to his stable of characters.
That's my new voice. Also tomorrow, we're going to talk to a guy who's written a book called Look Me in the Eye, My Life with Asperger's.
Hello.
Talking about that tomorrow. We are going to hopefully get a hold of Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, and Susan Miller is going to come into our studios and work whatever voodoo magic it is she does.
She reads your chart.
Tells the future, talks to dead people.
She's an astrologer. She looks into the sky and tells you what's in your future.
Black magic. It's not whatever black it is she magic. Does.
Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Linkin Park is going to be part of that. Also, Weezer, new music from The Killers. We got some Jack Johnson, Foo Fighters, Angels, and Airwaves. So much more straight ahead right here on KROQ FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles.